If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Hey, Frank. How come you haven't gotten up yet?
I'm waiting, Sticky.
It's not good for New York. It's not good for America. And it's not good for the entire world. And so, CBS, shame on you. Shame on you, CBS.
Let's just sit quietly and consider how ridiculous that statement was.
Hello. Hi, K-Rockers. This is Pauly Shore.
Absolutely riveting. Tell you what, that's what it's about right there.
It's entertainment, baby.
I haven't got a clue. I haven't got a clue.
Coming up after the break, a special surprise performance by Kevin Federline. Just kidding.
And now, do you think the world would be a better place, you guys, if we had Christmas every day?
What is it?
No.
Our feature presentation.
One of the all-time great holiday Christmas moments.
I love that bit. Because that's a question that you can only answer yes. There's no option.
Especially if you're a little kid, by the way. If you're like 11 and they say, hey, would you like it to be Christmas every day? How could you not, right? Christmas is the best day of the year.
Well, obviously that kid had some bad memories of Christmas.
But... Kathy Lee Gifford's kid, by the way.
Oh, it was. I thought it was
like a random kid.
I don't think so, right, B?
Oh, I remembered it the same way Kevin did, that it was just somebody in the audience at the Kathy Lee Christmas special. Hold on, let's do it again.
Do you think the world would be a better place, you guys, if we had Christmas every day?
What do you think?
No.
When she says you guys, it sounds like it's a group.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You might be right.
I didn't watch it, but that's awesome. I want that kid to be mine.
He probably is yours.
Yeah, me and Kathy Lee had a thing.
How old will Kathy Lee's kids be before they file for some sort of emancipation, some sort of way out of that hellhole?
Five? Six?
Yeah,
maybe,
whatever at the most.
Yeah.
However old you have to be to make that filing, I think that's what they'll do. Because how miserable must they be? And they got an 80-year-old father sitting at home who's just got to be miserable. And then their mom is the evil Kathy Lee. And their names are like Cody and Chestnut. I don't even know what their names are. But
we forget what an evil devil she was. She was awful. She was on the Regis show. I don't watch that show in the morning, but it's the morning day, 9 o'clock or whatever.
Right.
And it's awesome.
And she was, and she was on it forever, I guess. But I just so hate her because she's so overly happy and fake and ugh.
I'm glad that she was in a sex scandal, though. I think that was awesome when her husband was cheating on her. I think we all were pleased to see that.
That was good,
But you know what she does now, right, Lisa?
No, I don't.
Broadway.
I don't know
she
that
does?
Either. She does?
Yeah, she's in shows all the time. That's all she does now, it seems like.
Really?
Can you imagine? On Broadway, yeah.
You go to New York, you want to go see a show, you walk in, they introduce Kathy Lee Gifford, you just get up and walk right back out. I don't care what the tickets cost, I'm out.
That's a nightmare. I thought maybe she was singing on cruise ships.
Oh, man. By the way, I have friends who sing on cruise ships. No kidding.
You do?
Yes.
Really?
It's really bizarre.
I have a family member who plays in a band on cruise ships. No kidding. He's gone for months at a time. Loves it.
What really? Family member do you have that plays in a band on a cruise ship?
My brother-in-law. My wife's brother is a professional musician.
Oh, okay.
One of the things he does is plays in a band, and he'll go out, for 4 months at a time, and he'll call from time to time, hey, I got the day free in the Bahamas or whatever, because, they board, they stop, and then you get a day or two off, and then you hit the road again, and he says it's great.
And by hit the road, you mean they sail?
Yeah, they hit the water, I guess.
That's a good gig, man. My buddy's a stand-up, and he does that, and it's his favorite thing to do. It's great money, and he gets to travel, and he loves it.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. And it's great money.
And you work a couple of hours a day, and the rest of the time you have access to everything. You got all the movies and the pools and the workout and everything you want to do.
I've been on a cruise, and after a week, I'm ready to get off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but what if someone was paying
you? I mean, it's like being on the tiniest of islands.
Right, but what if you were getting paid? No, it's not like being on the tiniest of islands if you stop.
You can stop for like half a day.
A lot of those cruise ships sail at night and you can get off during the day for however long you want. That's
not
bad.
You can't stay overnight or anything.
Wow.
Well, you're right. Just Debbie Downer, aren't you?
The cruise life is not for me. That's
well, no
I'm
kidding. I started making fun of it, but then I said, like, I know a guy, and B knows a guy, and Mike knows a guy. All three of us know a guy. I wouldn't be the guy. You're not going to be
saying.
The guy.
No.
But that does seem like a pretty good gig if you have a couple days off or whatever. You're in the Caribbean, Yeah.
What about this, Lisa? What if you're like my brother-in-law, who's 25 years old or something, and is a musician and has new girls boarding every few days?
Yeah, that would pretty much rule, because they're all on board. They've got no way to get off. And
they're doing nothing but partying. They're totally in the vacation mode, and they're just looking, you know, to have some fun, quote-unquote.
They just want some vacation pole. That's all they want.
Exactly. That's right. He's taking care of business, and then they're gone, and he'll never see them again.
That's true. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
I think I'm going to join a band.
Get on a cruise ship.
Go on a cruise.
It's a good idea.
I was morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show, by the way. It's K-Rock. It's Wednesday, the 13th. Of Double December.
What knockers?
I was watching Jimmy Kimmel last night. He's going to be on the show today. And he had the 911 tape of the Nicole Richie.
Oh.
Yes.
And it wasn't our listener who called and said that he called 911. But this is the, I guess they released the tape, and this is the guy that called 911 about Nicole Richie going the wrong way on the 134.
Operator?
Yeah, I'm calling to report an SUV driving westbound in the eastbound lane near the Buena Vista exit of the 134 freeway.
Okay, who's in the SUV, sir? Is it Paris, Lindsay, Brittany, or Nicole?
How would I know that?
Sir, it's the middle of the night. Those are your four choices. Who are you going with?
I'll say Nicole.
We'll send out a unit ASAP.
Oh, so there you go. That's 911 tape.
Has to be one of the four.
Yeah. Well, that's about right, I guess. Jimmy Kimmel coming in on the show today.
Great.
Plus, we have, oddly enough, Santa Carl will be here today.
Oh, that's...
They're both coming in?
Wonderful. Yes. How about that? On the same day. Fine. It's quite a book.
Lisa, I was at Jimmy Kimmel's house on Sunday. And it was this is Bean speaking now. It was the first time that I have been in another person's house since the last time I went to Jimmy's about 2 years ago.
I know that sounds like he's exaggerating, but he's not.
That is bizarre.
Weird. Yeah.
I mean,
you haven't stepped foot in anyone else's home.
No. And it was weird because it's like where he lives and stuff. It had all, you know, his things.
His home is where he lives?
Yeah. And he's got, I mean, just like in my house, he's got like a kitchen, bathroom, and living room. I was like, it was so weird to see how other people live. Just bizarre.
It was weird to see that he had a bathroom and a kitchen?
You thought you were unique, huh?
Well, I didn't know what other houses look like.
You're freaking mind.
Well, clearly, if he hasn't stepped foot in anyone else's home for 2 years, something is wrong.
Let me explain a very different time in the Kevin and Bean lifetime. When we first got hired here, they moved us into an apartment that wasn't ours. It was the vice president of the company at the time, but he wasn't staying in it. Mm-hmm. And it had all his stuff in it, all the closets, all the drawers, everything was his.
Really?
It was all still there, everything on the walls, everything. And they moved us in together, Bean and I.
My God.
We had to live in somebody else's apartment together with all of his stuff.
Wow.
And now it's like years between being actually just stepping foot in somebody else's house.
It was I don't normally have occasion to. You know, I don't go to people's houses, obviously.
Obviously.
But I was in town for the acoustic Christmas shows, and it was, you know, Jimmy only lives a couple miles away from the hotel, and I had nothing going on, and he had invited me, so I thought, hey.
But honestly, I don't even, it's a different world for somebody that can say, I don't know what it's like to step inside somebody else's house. Who doesn't have that experience?
All right. Just a neighbor, someone who lives next door, something.
Yeah, what about a neighbor?
Talk to them at all, really.
After you killed their chicken, I can understand. Also this morning, we have Chuck Liddell.
Oh.
You going to be all right, Mike?
Good shot.
Kevin hit me before I even...
Hey, I knew it was coming.
We all knew,
preemptive strike. Mike, are you a Liddell man or a Tino man?
This is what I have to say with Liddell. I'm a big Liddell fan.
I have to be a tough guy. And since Liddell won last time, I'm going to be a Liddell
guy. No. I
got to go with the winner.
Every time he fights, it's like the best fight you've ever seen. He's an action-packed guy.
So you think Tito's a pussy?
Well, yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right.
Tito, what do you think about that? You hear what Mike is saying about you coming up with the fight?
Song number two. 109 is a Snoop Doggy dog. Do you want to take my buttons de press? La gata de pussy. Me.
It's weird. I thought it was Tito Ortiz we were talking about. I guess I was mistaken.
It was. I don't know what's going on. Also on today's show, we have a doctor who's going to tell you about the perfect Christmas gift. And I know there are a lot of people this time of year, mm-hmm. and you're trying to figure out what to get somebody for Christmas, and you go, I don't know, there's nothing that stands out. I have no clue what would really make them happy. Well, consider vagina rejuvenation. Consider that.
Vagina,
like for the hard to buy mom or grandmom on your list? That's what you're suggesting?
Especially grandmom.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Grandma, you know what you need? Tightness.
Exactly. Hey, you're not getting any younger.
Oh, you're sick.
Yeah. All right. Also on today's show, one of the best of Craigslist. There's a bunch of good stuff up there, but there's one guy who's just going off, and it's spectacular.
Excellent.
I love that. And it's time to get Lisa May a Christmas gift.
Yay!
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
We do this twice a year, actually. We do it on her birthday, and we do it at Christmas time. And we just call up QVC, whatever happens to be on the screen at the time we buy for her. Most of the time, we get out of it with $30 or less, and it's a piece of crap most of the time.
But I'm hopeful. Every year, I'm hopeful.
Every year.
I am Charlie Brown in the football.
Just like Charlie Brown in the football, yeah.
And we're maybe this year, it'll be something fabulous and expensive.
Yeah.
But what's fascinating, and I almost never see the QVC, is we do know that there are times on that channel where they're selling automobiles.
Yeah.
I mean, they really do sell the big stuff, and that's the danger of making that of blind dialing that call. Is we have no, I mean, today could be the day they're selling Indian elephants. I mean, we don't even know what they got going on.
So you're saying they might be selling an Indian elephant?
Well, I've just said as an example of something that's expensive and exotic that we're going to be on the hook for because we make the commitment that we're going to buy whatever it is.
Right,
and,
but if it's a car.
It's dangerous.
I mean, if it's a car, seriously. I mean, we need to make up our minds now. If it's a car.
Well, the rule has always been whatever is on the screen
know,
is what you buy.
Let's be honest.
And let's be real here. I mean, most of the time it's something worth, you know, $10. So I think over the period of last 10 years,
so like
whatever it is, you owe me. Yeah.
Well, we've gotten away pretty cheaply buying for Lisa.
Exactly.
I think that's
what if it's
the point.
A Hummer? What if it's a Bentley? I mean, we got to draw the line someplace, don't we?
I feel you. I know what you're saying and want to agree with you, but I could not look at myself in the mirror if I looked at Lisa and said, no, I'm not going to buy it after the promise we've made. I would feel like I would be obligated, even if it crushed me. I'd be obligated to buy it.
I think I'd be good with that.
I can look myself, my man. I can see that now.
I can look myself in the face just fine. Just like Psycho Mike. You make a bet, and then you just get out of it. You don't have to pay.
Yeah, just well.
Think
right.
How people think of Psycho Mike now.
Bets
you don't
are,
want people to think of you that way.
That's no. True. But if it comes to a car, yes, I do. Yeah.
Now, it would be nice, having said that, it would be nice and magnanimous of Lisa to have a number in her mind beyond which she would not expect us to buy. Like, it'd be great if it were a car and she would say, guys, it's, you know, obviously I'm not going to accept a car. Seriously. So just give me something for $30.
I will tell you this. If it's a Hummer, I won't take it.
Okay.
Because I just think they're ridiculous
cars. All right. Well, they are the giant FU.
I would be embarrassed to drive a Hummer.
they're the funniest cars because with all the talk of global warming and gas prices and relying on the Middle East oil and all that stuff, there is a group of people who are just driving a giant yellow FU finger to.
Seriously.
Around town. It's awesome.
Yeah. So,
not only
so
is there that group of people, but Kevin, you voted for him, okay? So
I might get one. It's a big middle finger, and it's just funny to me. Yeah. Hey, what are you going to do? I get 2 miles to the gallon. How do you like
How
me
do you
now?
Like me now?
5:43. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat. Next.
I thought vacation started after today's show. Am I wrong? Did I get the wrong memo, or what's going on?
That's what I had written down.
Maybe we are all on the wrong schedule.
Well, I don't see Ralph Garman. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying it's time now, and I don't see Ralph. So maybe later, but it's 5:50 on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know, I was watching that 10 Most Fascinating People of 2006 special that Barbara Walters does every year.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they started talking about, and we got some clips from that in a second, but they started talking about a special. What's the movie that's coming out with Angelina Jolie, Robert De Niro, and Matt Damon? Is that The Good
Shepherd? No.
The Good Shepherd.
Yeah,
yes,
where he's the CIA guy?
Yes. Yeah,
the
one about the birth of the CIA.
Great.
Has an unbelievable cast, and that one's coming out around Christmas time. But apparently Angelina Jolie is now doing all sorts of interviews, including one with Diane Sawyer on Friday night on 2020. And she's, you know, this is kind of the first time she's been answering questions about how she got together with Brad. And she admits, yeah, I fell for him even when he was still married with Jennifer Aniston. I didn't do anything about it, but I totally dug him, which probably puts her in, you know, the majority of U.S. women.
Sure.
I would imagine.
Sure.
She said it was never her intention to ruin Brad's marriage to Jennifer Aniston, whom she described as clearly Brad's best friend, which I think is an interesting thing for her to be saying about the, about the woman whose marriage she tore apart.
No, that's clear. It is clear that she's his best friend.
I think she means not sexual partner. I think that's what she's getting at.
Oh,
there.
I see what I get. You.
I think.
All right.
Yeah.
She also said that she and Brad have what she calls a deep emotional bond. They remain committed to raising their three children, but so far have no plans to marry. There were some rumors going around earlier this week, I guess, that they were planning a wedding over the holidays. But she says no. It is shocking though when they were running the promos for the Diane Sawyer special. that Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are the best, the two best looking people. It's almost like you're trying to breed a super race. You know what I mean? Like you pick the best looking guy who's got more going for him than anyone else in the whole world and put him together with his equivalent that's a woman. And they're a couple.
Yeah,
it
that's true.
Kind of shocking.
That's really why I hope for ugly babies. You know? Because wouldn't it be funny? I mean, if they had just like, oh, God, no, put it away. That'd be awesome.
Exactly.
TMZ.com, as you know, is our it's our website of record for entertainment news. And this story is fascinating. I don't know. I'm sure you've heard the rumor of Richard Gere and the gerbil.
Of course.
For decades, it seems like that rumor has existed.
For decades, there's a rumor that Richard Gere had a gerbil up there.
He had to have it removed at the hospital, surgically, right?
TMZ, everyone knows someone.
TMZ.com has a story that says Sylvester Stallone thinks that Richard Gere is blaming him for starting that rumor.
Oh,
it's
you're
the
kidding.
Strangest story I've ever read. Stallone tells Ain't It Cool News that Gere continues to harbor a grudge because he believes that Sylvester Stallone started the legend, the urban legend about him and the gerbil.
Why does he think he was involved in that?
They were on the set of a 1974 movie, The Lords of Flatbush.
Okay.
I'm just going to read it because it doesn't, I mean, it's hard to believe, but they were there together. The two actors got into a tiff over lunch one day, something about chicken grease, Sly's thigh, and a hot dog. Whereupon Stallone elbowed him in the side of the head.
Wow.
The tension between the two actors became so fevered that Gere got kicked off the film, which still angers him today. And Stallone says, to this day, he still blames me for starting that rumor at that moment when we were fighting.
That is bizarre.
Like he got back at him by saying, oh, Richard Gere had a gerbil up there.
And he said it to someone who said it to someone who said it to someone, and then the legend was born?
To this day, he seriously dislikes me, says Sly, who adds, for the record, that he did not start the rodent rumor. So it's what Richard Gere thinks. They're blaming him for it, but he says he didn't do it.
That's funny.
But they got in an actual physical fight on the set. That's awesome.
I never heard where that rumor started.
Yeah, well, I'm sure Richard Gere's been trying to figure it out all these years.
Sure.
Yeah, and I've never believed it for a second.
No, it's always been true.
Although there are a lot of people who do. I don't think there's anything to that. It's just like the rumor that depending on, you know, which version of the story you hear, sometimes it's Elton John, sometimes it's Rod Stewart, the one where they have to go to the hospital and get their stomach pumped.
Dude, true. True.
Not true.
True.
Neither one of those. No, it just isn't true.
True as hell.
And the amount of what they had to get their stomach pumped would kill you. I mean, there's no way. Not even Lisa has had that amount. You know what I'm saying? And she went to college. So
you mean at once?
At one time. Okay. That was the thing. I mean, it was like quartz or something. You know, it's just anybody get into it because it's an ugly way to start your day. But I love this story, by the way. Kevin, you were just talking about the very funny bit Jimmy Kimmel did last night about Nicole Richie being pulled over going the wrong way on the 134.
Right.
Well, there's a wagerweb.com is the offshore betting site. They are posting odds on which celebrity will get charged with a DUI next.
Oh, I like it.
Which is great, and it's exactly who you would expect would be at the top. Who do you think number one is getting DUI next? Well, Lindsay is in the top five. She's at 1-4 odds, which means, if I understand betting correctly, is more likely to get pulled over than not. She's at 1-4. Tara Reid is 1-3.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Paris Hilton, 1-2.
Sure.
Danny DeVito, 1-5 after his appearance on The View. Andy Dick, 1-6. Mel Gibson, 1-8. All these people have had problems with alcohol in the past. Mel Gibson, 1-8. Keith Urban, 1-10. But tops on the list, Britney Spears, 2-1 odds.
Oh, interesting.
Really?
Odds on favorite.
Well, Paris has already been pulled over once.
Yes. Yeah.
Actually.
Go,
Kristen
Britney.
Slater
go,
on the
Britney.
List. Mary-Kate Olsen on the list. Haley Joel Osment. It's great. Wagerweb.com is where you go if you want to make some money off the celebrities.
I like that.
Funny.
Do we have time for a little bit of the special from last night from Barbara Walters?
Sure.
Am I the only one who saw it?
Yep.
Yes.
I don't watch that show. She doesn't interest me anymore.
I used to. Yeah, I'm bored now.
She does get some big stars, although some of the interviews I was most looking forward to, like Sacha Baron Cohen, for instance, was one of the 10 most fascinating people of the year, as well he should be. No interview with him, for instance. So it was really just a,
What? She just said, and by the way, here's one of them?
Well, she showed clips of him on other shows, but she obviously did not get an interview. And by the way, says he's not doing any interviews anymore right now because, I don't know, maybe
he's exhausted. He doesn't like to do it anymore. Yeah. He's tired of being a character, all that,
Tired of being from Kazakhstan. Jay-Z was on the list as one of the 10 most fascinating people of the year. It is amazing what he has accomplished from nothing in 10 years to have the empire that he has with the clothing company and the restaurants and the record label and everything else. But Barbara Walters couldn't talk to Jay-Z without talking about... You have the clips, right?
I do, yeah.
without talking about, of course, Beyonce. And we all know Jay-Z doesn't like to talk about Beyonce. And here's how that went.
What's the relationship?
She's a great person.
Oh, that's not enough. Come on.
That's, you know, when you live your life, you know, so publicly and you put so much through your art, you know, you want to just not sit and talk about, you know.
Do you think that Beyonce is bootylicious?
Well,
did I say it right?
Yeah.
Okay.
She made a song about it, so I guess so.
Come on.
She just Brian had Walters? To say that.
Would you say she's bootylicious?
Walters is like 80.
What in God's name is she doing? What the hell? It doesn't make any sense. Why would she do that?
I don't know. It's embarrassing.
We have a clip about Terry Irwin talking about Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter.
Oh. You know what I'll miss the most, and it's very selfish. He was fun. Steve was fun. He taught me that it's okay to play in the rain and splash in mud puddles and let the kids get dirty.
He didn't sweat the little stuff. He saw the big picture. And he had fun.
Well, I'm going to work really hard at having fun again.
Oh, I hope you can.
Well, I'm Mrs. Steve Irwin. I've got a lot to live up to.
Shut up, Barbara.
Oh, I hope you can.
That's
sad, though.
That's a comic piece right there.
Yeah.
Patrick Dempsey from...
from Grey's Anatomy. Yum, yum, yum.
Talking about his...
McDreamy.
Hair. What do you think she's going to ask about? She's Barbara Walters. Tell us about your hair.
I had a chance to talk to two of the young women you work with, Ellen Pompeo and Katherine Heigl, and they said that it's all about your hair.
Pretty much. Everybody teases me about it. I tease myself about it, yeah.
Because you got such good hair?
It's a lot to manage. It's quite difficult to keep it controlled.
Life is hard.
I tease myself about it, is what he says.
I have great hair. Ooh, you're funny.
And Barbara can't go, hey, you're looking in the mirror, you're looking at your own hair? What kind of teasing do you do for yourself?
No.
And finally, Barbara Walters reveals her most fascinating person of 2006. Number one. Who do you guess it might be?
George Clooney?
Our most fascinating person of 2006, mother of five, and speaker-elect, Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, I could see that. She's powerful.
I guess, but don't have any clips. I mean, because really, seriously.
Yeah, what are you going to play?
Barbara Walters and Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, I hear you.
celebrity birthdays, Dick Van Dyke is 81 years old. Ted Nugent, crazy singer, 58. Yeah. Morris Day from The Time.
Uh-huh.
Remember him?
Yeah.
50 years old. Steve Buscemi from The Sopranos and a bunch of other movies.
Great actor.
49 years old. Jamie Foxx is 39. Amy Lee, singer for Evanescence, is 25. And finally, from Blink-182 and Angels and Airwaves, Tom DeLonge is 31. Tom?
It's my birthday.
Happy birthday
to me.
And that's the Ralph Showbiz beat.
Let's face it, season passes to Disneyland that were given away all this week, including this morning on the Kevin DeMint Show. That's a great item. I mean, it's the happiest place on earth. You can't do any better than that. Unless someone gives you laser vaginal rejuvenation surgery for Christmas, because that, my friends, is the gift that makes baby Jesus happy.
By the way, Disneyland's the second happiest place on earth. We're about to talk about the first.
Well, that's a good point.
Dr. David Matlock, good morning.
Good morning.
You might have seen Dr. Matlock on E! Entertainment's Dr. 90210.
Okay.
Oh, love that show. Doc, wow, we don't even know where to start. First of all, do you have the best job in the world as we would hope, or is it actually not nearly as much fun as we want to believe it to be?
No, I have the best job in the world. Absolutely.
Now, what is it you like about it?
What I like about it, I mean, I just enjoy what I do. I enjoy helping women, and our whole mission is to empower women with knowledge, choice, and alternatives. So, at the Laser Vaginal Rejuvenation Institute.
So you have a bunch of different services that you offer. One is the Laser Vaginal Rejuvenation.
Correct.
Explain that one to us.
Basically what that is, it is a laser surgical procedure designed to enhance sexual gratification for a woman. Basically, if the woman has vaginal relaxation, what we're doing is tightening up the muscles of the inner portion of the vagina and the outside.
How do you do that with a laser?
Basically the laser is used to do all the cutting and dissecting. We have to get to the muscles so that we can tighten the muscles with suture material.
Oh, I see. Okay.
How long has this procedure been around?
Yeah, I developed the procedure out about 10 years ago.
Are you one of the people who actually started doing it for the first time anywhere?
Absolutely. I pioneered the procedure of laser vaginal rejuvenation and designer laser vaginoplasty, and to date, I treated patients from all 50 states and over 30 countries.
What were the other plastic surgeons, how were you regarded at the time? Did they think you were a quack or you were out of your mind? Or, I mean, because everybody who does something first is generally laughed at by the industry for a while.
Yeah, well, no, they really didn't think that. I mean, to date, I trained doctors from over 21 countries, approximately 135 doctors trained in these laser vaginal rejuvenation and designer laser vaginoplasty techniques. So, but the thing is, it's a very lucrative field. So
right.
A lot of people started calling me, hey, how can I get involved in this?
Now, you just mentioned designer laser vaginoplasty. This is aesthetic. This is for looks, right? This is...
Absolutely. The designer laser vaginoplasty procedures are designed for the enhancement of the aesthetic structures of the vulvar structures.
So basically, if you want to look better down there, you can redo it. Like you have plastic surgery, like you would have a facelift or something.
Absolutely correct. Anything that you can possibly conceive, we can do.
All right, what about the G-shot?
Wait, I want to ask. Okay. Do people bring you pictures and say, make me look like this porn star? Or how does that work?
Women bring in pictures all the time. I have more pornographic information in my office than I care to talk about.
But, could we have a meeting at your office anytime soon?
I want to see the before and after pictures.
Yeah.
Also, what we do present the patient with before and after pictures as well.
I think that would be fascinating.
In an attractive frame so they can hang in their dining room if they want?
If you blow it up big enough, you don't know what it is.
It's funny, if you're just joining us, Dr. David Matlock is on the line. He's with the Laser Vaginal Rejuvenation Institute of Los Angeles. It's 888-80-OBGYN, by the way, is the number if you want to call. But it's so funny. You could almost substitute most of the things you're saying for the way people talked about breast enlargement surgeries, you know, 50 years ago or whatever, however long ago they came on the scene. People come in with their pictures, and there are some people who think, oh, my God, I'd never do that. That's crazy. And then it becomes so widespread and so mainstream that now, as you say, it's probably done all over the world.
Yes, Kevin, you're absolutely correct. It's done all over the world.
Now, the G-shot.
I saw this on Nip Tuck.
Is there no,
like a week ago.
Is there no end to what collagen can do? Is there just, I mean, it's really, that's you actually shoot the G-spot with collagen.
To make it bigger?
Right. Basically what I do, I bring the woman in, we educate the woman on the G-spot, and then we will numb it up, and I will inject it with a collagen base. It augments the G-spot, and I did a clinical investigational study, and what I found that 87% of women who had the G-shot reported enhanced sexual arousal, sexual gratification. Women ask us, hey, when can I have sex? I said, just please wait till you get out of the office.
How long does that last?
It lasts for 4 months. You know, it costs $1,850. People may say, well, that's quite a bit to pay. What we like to say is a small price to pay for such a bundle of joy.
Hey, doctor, do you have a lot of women who come in and get this because they've never had an orgasm?
Well, basically,
or very rarely?
Basically, is for normal, sexually functioning women.
Okay.
Doctor, why do you care so much whether women enjoy sex?
Because Bean doesn't. Bean doesn't. That's his point.
He doesn't have that caring part about him.
Yeah, because our mission is to empower women with knowledge, choice, and alternatives. You know, women want these alternatives. Women want to have the best sexual experience possible.
Bean, if they enjoy sex, they might not say no to you.
Well,
do you
that's
get
a
that connection?
That's a good point. That's a good point. Hey, Doc, have you? I have two kind of questions that are kind of off the topic a little bit, but you're such an expert in what's going on in a woman's pants. I wonder, do you do anything with guys? Because that seems to be the holy grail of medicine. If you believe the ads in the papers and the commercials on the radio, is guys are looking for surgery that's really going to help them. Is that something you are involved in at all?
It's nothing that I'm involved in. I couldn't care less about the male. I'm all about the female.
Nice.
Isn't that interesting? And my second question to you, doctor, again, a little bit off the topic, is we found out that a coworker here at K-Rock, one of the DJs named Stryker, has a tail. He's got a coccyx, I guess, the tailbone that just keeps on going a few inches past his spine. Is that the type of thing that you've ever seen before as a doctor?
Never saw it before.
Wow.
I think you may need to go to a veterinarian doctor.
You also have hymenoplasty. Oh. Which is always, I guess that's the always a virgin surgery. You can.
Oh my God.
You can make a woman a virgin again?
Yes, some patients come in who had children. They said, doctor, listen, I was never able to give this to my husband, but now I can.
So you can do a surgery
crazy.
That makes her a virgin again.
Correct.
Do people come for religious reasons, or you know, their family, their I don't know, their church disagrees.
Yeah, what about
with
people from other cultures who you know are supposed to be virgins when they get married? Is that common?
Yeah, it's somewhat common, but it's somewhat seasonal also.
How many times do you
seasonal?
Wow!
What, during wedding season?
What's the season?
Correct.
It's wedding season. No kidding. So what is that? The spring, I guess.
Spring. Yeah. It starts up in March, April, May.
Do you have repeat visitors for that surgery, where they just come back over and over and over again?
Well, some people do.
Yes.
Oh,
that's
my God.
Awesome.
Dr. Matlock is with the Laser Vaginal Rejuvenation Institute of Los Angeles. You had to have seen their ads in the LA Weekly and everywhere else. 888-80-OBGYN. I'm sure you've been asked this question ever since you decided to go into this line of work, Doc, but I got to ask it again because I know our listeners are going to want to know. Because you go to work and spend however many hours each day dealing with a woman's privates, does that make it impossible for you to just enjoy it in your off time? Are you able to look at it with the non-professional gaze after hours?
In the office, it's all about business.
Right.
After hours, it's all about me and my woman.
Okay. But you're
she's
not...
She's got the G-spot shot, so, you know. It's all good.
You and your woman aren't in bed and you pull out the laser. That doesn't happen, right? Put it away, for God's sakes.
You know, I could tighten you up a little right here.
Oh, well, we wanted to bring you on, Doc, because this is the holiday season where there are so many people who are desperate for the perfect gift. And, you know, you got a mom or a grandma on your list.
Oh,
you know, why not? This just
it.
sounds great. Here's the number again, 888-80-OBGYN. And they're down on Sunset Boulevard, the Laser Vaginal Rejuvenation Institute of Los Angeles. Dr. David Matlock, thanks for joining us. Have a great Christmas yourself, sir.
Thank you very much. And if Lisa wants to come in for a G-shot, a Christmas present from me to her.
Done.
Oh,
look at
awesome.
That.
You know I'm coming.
She'll see you in 20 minutes.
You know.
Okay, Rock 106.7 KRQ, a suspect choice at best. But thank you.
Lisa, if you ask us one more time if he was serious about the G-shot, seriously, I would ask you to just go down there right now.
Was he serious?
Because you can't concentrate on this show. That's all you care about now is getting a shot in your thing.
I'm all flesh.
Was he serious? Was he serious? Do you think he was serious? What do you think? Do you think he was serious? Do you think he was serious? Yes, I thought he was serious.
But do you think he was serious?
Yes.
Guys, can I go down there? Can I get a shot? Can I get a shot? My sex life is bad. Can I get a shot?
No, my sex life is great, but...
You want it to be better.
Yeah, my God. How much better could it be, I
wonder? Sounded like he was serious to me.
Well, let us know.
Okay. That's the gift that keeps on giving,
isn't
people.
It though?
Yeah. That's the holiday gift for everybody. Speaking of the holidays, you know, it's kind of difficult with so many different religions and different cultures trying to get along. I know in Seattle there was a big thing over
the
airport.
Christmas tree at the airport.
Let me mention that, Kevin. I'm glad you brought that up because you're right. We are living in a multicultural United States of America, and the days of there just being Christian holidays being celebrated in the mainstream, those days are gone. And what happened at the Seattle-Tacoma International Airport is, as they have every year for the last 10 years, they put Christmas decorations up that included trees. And a rabbi was going through the airport a few days ago and said, well, wait a minute, how about a menorah? I don't see any kind of Jewish representation. It's our holiday this time of year as well. And the Seattle airport just freaked out and said, well, we don't want to get sued, so we'll pull all the Christmas trees. Well, then the rabbi came out and said, no, I wasn't trying to say take away the Christmas trees. I was just asking maybe for some Jewish representation. So I'm not going to sue. And then the airport put the Christmas trees back up. But it's kind of opened up this whole debate now has been opened up about how much is required in the public, you know, to represent. I mean, should we also be doing something with Kwanzaa? Should we be doing something with the, you know, Muslims, what they celebrate? So we don't have the answers to these questions, but we are lucky to have an expert in the Rolodex. And I believe he is on the phone right now, our friend Bruce Endicott, joining us on the line now from the organization Coffee. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good. It's good to talk to you again. It's been a while.
Hey, happy holidays.
To you as well. Tell us...
we say, because you can't say Merry Christmas anymore.
You can't say that?
No, you can't say that anymore because we need to be inclusive of all different types of cultural holidays.
Okay, tell us what COFFEE stands for, just so we know your credentials.
COFFEE stands for Caucasian Organization for Friendship Enveloping Everyone.
Okay.
And we believe, like a hot, steaming cup of delicious coffee.
Right.
If you take the white, delicious, wholesome milk that's good for you, and then you put some of the crappy coffee or tea or whatever into it, the darker colors, you get a delicious beverage.
That doesn't sound very PC.
No.
If you were to...
No, it's bringing together. It's bringing together all the cultures into a delicious coffee beverage.
And you're a professional organization, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
We're an educational organization, and what we like to do is to educate folks like yourself, who may be white and Christian and Protestant like us, and help you understand better how the other people live.
Okay, all right.
And why they live.
What?
right?
What do we need to know about the holiday time?
Well, if you're at work, you may encounter a lot of different kinds of people celebrating a lot of different kinds of holidays. Mm-hmm. And so you want to get a little education about each of them so that you can bring yourself closer to your fellow man.
Okay.
For instance, it's a little late now, but they did celebrate Ramadan this year.
Okay.
Maybe you've heard of Ramadan.
That's already over, right?
That's what the Muslims celebrate.
Right.
And it's a celebration of prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. During Ramadan, which started on September 23rd this year, they don't eat at all. They don't eat at all.
No food.
They fast.
No food for the Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you know a Muslim work, you could say, don't you wish it was Ramadan all year long?
Well, I don't think that's something that they would say, yeah, I'd like to not eat all year long.
But this shows that you think it's a great holiday.
Have you tried that?
Sure.
Okay.
I say, don't you wish it was Ramadan all year long?
I think it's Ramadan.
Whatever.
I thought you were an educational expert.
Yeah.
Well, if you get close enough, they appreciate the effort.
All right.
And, of course, Diwali, too. Which is for the Hindus.
Oh, I'm not aware of this one.
And they celebrate that in the fall, early winter, usually in October. It stands for the Rose of Lighted Lamps.
The Rose of Lighted Lamps.
It is the Hindu Festival of Lights.
Okay.
And they celebrate with gifts and costumes, and it's quite an elaborate holiday for the Hindus.
I think I saw that on The Office. I think they did an episode of The Office.
Yes, we heard there was one of those. We didn't have time to check it out. But,
right.
but actually, if you know a Hindu, just go up to him and say, hey, happy Diwali.
It's Diwali, I think. That's how you said it the first time.
Say that. Hold that person and say, you do a great job with those Slurpees.
Well, that... Bruce.
Show them that you have an appreciation of their culture.
That's a bad stereotype, I think.
How would we get along without 7-Elevens? I don't know, my friend. Happy Diwali.
They don't all work at 7-Elevens, Bruce.
Right.
Okay.
And of course, speaking of lights, the Festival of Lights, Hanukkah, of course, for our Jewish friends.
Right.
Hanukkah is celebrated the 25th day of the Jewish month of Kislev.
Okay.
Whenever the hell that is. Seems to jump around every year, doesn't it?
Well, haven't you...
Do you think people that smart with that much education would get a stable calendar?
Haven't you done any research on this?
Yes, the 25th day of Kislev.
Okay.
More than you knew.
Well, barely.
It's the Festival of Lights, of course. They celebrate the miracle where one night's worth of lamp oil lasted for 8 nights.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then you could say to your Jewish friends, I bet they got a hell of a deal on that lamp oil.
I don't think that's going to really help us.
Oh, they appreciate a bargain.
Oh.
They do. Make points with your Jewish friends. And while you're celebrating the holidays, how about Kwanzaa, huh?
Okay, all right.
That's a Pan-African holiday.
What does that mean?
That means any black person can celebrate it.
Okay.
Anywhere.
Okay.
It's an African-American holiday, but it's celebrated all over the world.
And is that at the typical Christmas time for us, December?
Yeah, they celebrate that December 26th through January 1st.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right, the week after. Okay.
So they get a great deal on all the sales, which is good.
Do you think that's why they picked it?
Probably. Come on, they don't have a lot of money.
Come on.
Hey, I'm being sensitive to their
plight. No, you're not. You're being insulting.
Say to your African-American brothers, I'm glad you can take advantage of the half-price off sales after Christmas.
No!
Happy Kwanzaa.
I'm not going to say that.
Kwanzaa actually means in the Swahili, mm-hmm. first fruits.
Okay.
That's the actual translation for it. Bet you didn't know that.
Didn't. No.
I've never seen black people out of fruit, but I'm sure they
Bruce,
enjoy it.
You don't seem like you know what you're talking about.
And it's a time of bonding between them. It's a time of gathering for people to get together and enjoy.
Right.
So you say to your black brother, you say, hey, my black brother, why don't you try to track down your dad and bond?
There's no way we would say that. What's wrong with you?
You care about their family unit.
No, it doesn't. It's insulting.
I am insulted that you as a white man won't stretch out your hand in friendship.
I think we need a new expert.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not feeling good about your advice.
Happy Hanukkah, Diwali, Kwanzaa.
Okay, thank you.
You're telling me we won a radio award and you thought it would be funny to smash it into 1,000 pieces before you sent it to me?
No, I'm not telling you that on the air.
But bonehead? That's what happened?
No.
As far as you know.
How dare you?
It was damaged during transport.
Yes. Like I had anything to do with it.
The funny thing is, this was a little plaque or something.
And no.
It came in like 2,000 pieces and I thought, stupid UPS.
But the box was pristine. That was the joke.
I was troubled by that. I almost wrote a strongly worded letter. I'm glad you told me the truth. All right, it's the Kevin and Bean Show at KROQ 106.7 KROQ. If we sound a little giddy, it's because we're drinking heavily, because today is our last day before the holiday break. And that's why not only are we going to be calling QVC for Lisa May's gift to his students, that's why we're also exchanging gifts with each other today, because we won't see each other till the new year.
Now, I'd like to start with Psycho Mike opening Lisa's, and I'd also like to hear Psycho Mike's experience yesterday while buying something for you.
While buying my present.
Because anytime somebody uses the words, what is wrong with you?
Are you an animal?
That's a good story right there.
Wow. I'm opening Lisa's gift. All right. And yesterday I went to buy, let's see. Ooh. Is this poo coffee?
Poopy coffee.
Lisa!
Wow.
Poo
coffee. Weren't they supposed to send poo coffee?
They never did.
They never did.
This is from Indonesia.
This is the most expensive coffee in the world. It's
That's
how much?
Why there's so little of it.
It's how much? How much was it for this little?
It was like $40 for that little bit.
Oh, my God.
For a single serving.
It's like two cups worth.
Really savor it.
Yeah, I will. I'm a coffee connoisseur. Thank you very much, Lisa. So I bought Lisa some perfume from Barney's in Beverly Hills.
Yes.
Right.
And at Barney's, they have like a perfume making area. I mean, and it has a bunch of different scents, like maybe 50 cents.
You can make your own?
Right, and you can custom design things that
Wait,
you
50
think.
Wait, 50 cents was there?
50 cents was there? I heard that's ludicrous.
Never going to get through this story.
And, and you can you can design your own scent for a woman, you think, what she might like, and cater it to her. So I'm doing this, and the guy who's helping me is very effeminate.
Yes.
And I think into me, according to my sister.
Okay.
You know? Okay. So I'm kind of like having fun with the guy, and he's, you know, kind of rapping with me. And next thing I know, they show me these chambers they have there, specifically made for smelling things that cut off the outside aromas of the world around you and also amplify the smells of all the chambers within. So
it's like a one
hermetically
person
sealed.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
And exactly. So I said,
like a clean room for building electronics,
for smelling things. So it does nothing in your outside environment can foul up this smell of what you're trying to get. So I said, I have to start farting. I mean, that's I have a fart chamber. I've always wanted a fart chamber. So I go in there and I'm taking scents in with me at first, and then I just start walking in and out, and I'm clearly like grinding my teeth and trying to blast.
Now, who's there with you? Just your sister?
My sister, yeah.
His poor sister.
And my sister's laughing. And this guy's going, what are you doing? You don't have any scent with you. Why are you going in the chamber? I said, I'm trying to fart. I want to know what it's like
you
to be.
You said that.
I want to know what it's like to be in a fart chamber.
I have my own scent. Nothing.
So, no. I said I want to blast in here because I want to know what it's like. So he's like, oh, that he thinks I'm joking. So then I'm in there for 3 minutes, like with my clenching my teeth and like with my eyes closed.
Nothing says holidays more than that.
He knows I'm being serious. So then he's knocking on. He's like, you need to come out. You can't go in there. You can't fart in my chamber. What are you thinking? What are you thinking?
Mike, hold on.
Cesar
Milan,
the
dog whisperer, is working at Barney's?
That's what it sounded like. He was much more well-dressed than Caesar, but he was pretty much along those same lines. And so I come back out. I was like, dude, look, this is a dream of mine. I have to blast in here. And I finally muster up something to give,
right?
And I go in there and I blast, and it does amplify the smell. It's the best thing in the world, and it cuts out everything else. So it's like you just get the essence of yourself. And he was infuriated. He's like,
"Well, you sullied his clean room."
Yeah, he's like, "What if I have another customer come along and it smells like your poopy bad poop?" He's like, "You're an animal. What are you, some kind of animal? I'm going to kick you out." My sister's got tears streaming down her face now at this point because I've now spent 30 minutes trying to blast in the fart chamber.
This explains why Mike, when he gave it to me, said, "They know me there. If you want to take it back, they'll know who I am."
Oh no! I wish I was there an hour later when they were loading that onto a truck and sending it away to be incinerated. Because they're never going to use that room again.
Nope,
I wasn't even there, and I'm humiliated and offended just from hearing the story. Mike, that's a terrible thing to do to somebody.
What?
That's awful.
What? That's funny, though.
Have a fart chamber if you don't want to fart.
I don't think it's a fart chamber.
It's not a fart chamber. It's for perfume.
It's for aromas.
Yeah. Mike loves himself so much, he considers his farts to be perfume.
That's true, yeah.
For Christmas, I'm getting Psycho Mike a story condenser, too. Jeez.
Hey, tell us more about the history of rock.
So I'm inside, and I'm clenching. All right, we get it. You're straining the fart. Cut to the chase. Cut to the cheese.
All right, what else? Who else is going to open here?
Bean has to open one of my gifts.
Yeah,
you don't need to read the card now, just because they are the greatest gifts ever in the history of mankind.
It's
huge.
Yeah. Greatest gift
just ever. Make sure you open it there on the top there.
This is like the size of two shoeboxes, I would say, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's how big it is.
No pressure here, Ralph, with that kind of build-up to the greatest gift.
I know.
Gift giving.
There's a tab there on the top for easy opening. There you go.
Ralph is traditionally a great gift giver. One of those people puts a lot of attention to
what
his gifts.
What is it?
This is a remote-controlled, lifelike animatronic monkey.
Look at that. You got a remote control. You can move stuff on
Ralph,
it.
Ralph, where did you find that?
Where did you find that?
He's got whiskers on his chin.
He's completely lifelike.
Oh, that's the coolest. Oh, my. He opens his mouth. He turns his head.
Wait, hold on. I can't see you guys. Is Stryker in the studio?
It literally is the size of a small monkey. I mean, it's a big...
It is.
Head and shoulders, long black hair.
Yeah.
The eyes move, the mouth moves.
We'll have to take a picture of this. Oh, my God.
This is the best thing ever.
You know, Kevin has always wanted a monkey, and I swear to God, if he hadn't had twins, he would have ended up with a monkey. He really would have.
That's the coolest.
His lips and mouth move.
His head moves, all his eyes move.
It's super realistic looking.
You can make him do whatever he wants.
Where did you get this? That's awesome.
I know the first thing he's going to try with it. Don't do it, Kevin.
How dare you?
Here's the thing about this.
Psycho Mike, stay away from this.
It's got sensors in its eyes and its ears, and if you set it to alive, it will follow you, or your eyes will follow you. If you take it a little under the chin, it'll laugh. It interacts with you when you play with it.
Its eyes will follow you. I'm so going to screw with people with this.
Honestly, where'd you get this?
And it's got ear sensors. If you leave it on in a room, you can use it like an alarm. If someone walks into it, it'll sense it, and it'll start screaming and everything go off on it.
That's so
unbelievable. The eyes follow you?
Yeah.
I'm so going to screw with people.
It's made by a Hollywood special effects company, so it's got all animatronics and it moves and everything. It's awesome.
It's called the Alive, the chimp.
Yeah.
That's
the best gift ever.
That's the best gift I'm talking about.
You're right about that.
Can't argue it.
Wow. Fantastic. Oh, I'm so going to screw. You keep your little wiener away from this guy.
And now I need Bean to open his.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let me, give me 1 second while I grab it.
All right.
That's awesome.
Did we lose Bean, or is he...
I think he went to get his gift.
Yeah.
The hair looks realistic. The skin looks realistic.
It's
all covered with latex, and they actually implant the hair into it. And it's...
All right, I've got two here, Ralph. Which one should I open? The big one?
The flat one. The flat one? You got a flat one there?
I got it right here.
I like the talking part of it. I like all of it, except for the eyes that follow people. To me, that's the ultimate thing.
Put your hand in front of it and do like this, and its head will go back and forth. It'll follow your hand as you wave it in front of its face. It's pretty cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Here's what you've always wanted, says the envelope. It's a manila envelope that comes from Ralph. Here's what you've always wanted. Now you can stop talking about it. Merry Christmas, Ralph. All right? So... Ooh, I feel like the Mission Impossible guy.
Did you give him a blog?
Here.
Give him a post office box?
Yeah.
Well, will you look at that? This this is page after page after page, ladies and gentlemen, from photostamps.com of Clyde Tumbaugh on a postage stamp. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
I like it.
The man who discovered Pluto on a 39-cent official U.S. postage stamp. How about that?
Now have Clyde Tumbaugh stamps.
See, Bean has been blogging and trying forever to get Clyde Tumbaugh a stamp.
Right.
That's his whole thing.
Yeah, I have a petition online at ClydeTumbaugh.com. That's the American astronomer who discovered the planet Pluto in 1930, and that's my goal.
I'm sorry, did you say planet? You mean
asteroid?
And now that he's nobody, now that it's just a rock,
he'll never get it.
No one cares, he'll never get a stamp, so Ralph actually made it happen.
The middleman.
Yeah. Exactly.
I had Paul Lee, who did the art for our CD, he drew a portrait of Clyde Tumbaugh on his telescope and Pluto behind them for the stamp.
Beautiful, and it is fantastic. And there must be, I don't know how many are here. It looks like there's 200 stamps, Ralph. I mean, this is enough to last me all of 2007. This is amazing.
Every strongly worded letter you write, you can put a Clyde Tumbaugh stamp on.
Ladies and gentlemen, officially, the two best gifts that have ever been given to anyone by anyone, Ralph Garvin.
I have to agree.
I was pretty excited this year.
Do you think I could make a stamp out of my monkey whose eyes follow you from the letter?
I'm sure you could.
That would be awesome.
We're going to make the phone call of the year, not the Butterball Turkey Hotline, this time to QFC to get Lisa Mae her Christmas gift coming up in the next hour.
Nice.
Oh, sorry.
Where's QFC? I like that.
Yeah, I don't know what that was all about.
We're a fighting championship. It's where gay guys fight. QFC.
Stop it.
They're slapping.
QFC.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here is Ralph at 6:56.
Well, as by now you've probably heard, my glee turned to disappointment late last night as we all learned that the whole Paulie Shore getting punched in the face by a heckler thing was, in fact, a hoax.
I didn't hear
that.
He did it?
He did it himself.
Aww.
Apparently, a local radio station in Odessa, Texas, where the event took place over the weekend, called up the cops there to see what the story was. And it turns out that Paulie Shore had an actor play the guy who came up on stage. They faked the punch. The cops were asked to participate in the sketch and pull the guy off stage.
The cops played along?
Yeah. Wow. So the whole thing was a big fraud.
It's a different world in Texas, isn't it?
I guess it is.
Yeah, sure. We'll do that. We'll drag somebody off stage for you, Pauly Shore. I love Son-in-Law.
Oh, it was a stunt.
But how does it help Pauly Shore, Ralph? How does it make him look cooler?
It doesn't. He looks worse now because he's pathetic and he's desperate for attention.
Yeah.
And he can't even get smacked in the face right. He can't do that simple thing right.
Yeah.
He's got to screw that up.
Do you think he was shocked at how many people were so happy that someone hit him?
No, because if you saw the tape,
yeah.
When the guy gets up on stage, people in the audience are screaming, "Hit him! Hit
yeah,
him!
I heard
hit
that
him.
Part. I was like, "Why are they shouting, hit him?"
Because it's Pauly Shore.
Because they hate him.
I'd be screaming it too if I was there.
But if they hate him, why were they there at a Pauly Shore concert?
I don't know.
Maybe he was one of many.
Oh, that's so sad. Yeah. So he didn't even get hit.
No, the whole thing wasn't real.
That's BS.
Now I probably
now
can't
you gotta
say
hit
that.
Him.
I was gonna say, I challenge someone to go to a Pauly Shore concert and do it for real, but that'd probably be legally.
You know why he did it? He did it hoping that nobody would find out it was a fake, so that he could be back in the news. That's why he did it.
I guess
that monkey is freaking me out. Seriously,
he's responding to you.
Yes,
isn't
like
he?
Nodding yes. to me and looking at me.
Oh my god!
It's all right, little buddy.
All right. I gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
We have a monkey on the Kevin and Bean show now. That's awesome. So awesome.
Finally.
The New York Post says that Jim Carrey was at Tom Cruise's wedding. Remember we were asking, why would Jim Carrey and Jenny McCarthy be at Tom Cruise's wedding?
Right.
Yes.
Apparently, he is taking introductory Scientology courses.
No.
He is entering the world. So I guess Tom wanted to include him in the wedding to encourage his participation.
Jim Carrey just hasn't written enough checks in his life. Is that his problem?
That's what it is.
He needs to write more?
He needs some more check writing going on. Jada Pinkett Smith, this was a pretty cool event, gave her old high school, the Baltimore School for the Arts, $1 million to build a new theater.
Wow.
The donation was made through the Baltimore-based Will and Jada Smith Family Foundation. And here's the thing, it didn't quite come without strings. It was a very nice offer and a nice gesture, and it is desperately needed in Baltimore. However, Jada insists that the theater be named after Tupac Shakur.
Really?
Yes. He was a classmate of hers there, apparently.
Awesome.
And Jada's close friend.
Right.
And the school said, no. But we will name it the Pinkett Smith Theater instead. So
really? They wouldn't do Tupac?
No.
Hmm.
Jada's disappointed. But she gave him the money. I mean, that's the way those things usually work.
Yeah.
So. But that was pretty cool of her to give back to her old high school. So that's pretty cool.
Stop looking at me. Seriously.
He loves you.
Giant ape.
According to the latest Durex condom survey, a man who can still look hot where wearing something like a Speedo can claim the sexiest man on the planet. Apparently, Daniel Craig has been listed by people who buy Durex condoms as the sexiest man on the planet. Not George Clooney, as People magazine originally said.
Right.
It's Daniel Craig, then Clive Owen, then Jude Law, then George Clooney.
I haven't seen George Clooney in a Speedo.
I don't think any guy looks good in a Speedo.
No. What?
That's a tough one to pull off.
I mean, have a great...
Borat. I guess
Borat does.
Borat does, right. Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, Daniel Craig is a great-looking guy, and he's obviously spent a lot of time sculpting his body and working out hard. But even him, in that little banana thong thing he was wearing as James Bond, looked a little fruity to me.
Yeah, a little weird.
Just didn't look very attractive.
Yeah.
Psycho Mike hears you be going, oh! But he's not here, so I did.
My preference, dog style.
Hi.
Yes. I like.
You like.
Thank you, Borat.
And what exactly is Lindsay Lohan in rehab for?
Not out.
According to In Touch magazine, a lot of speculation in Hollywood is that it's not just for alcohol.
You say rehab. She was out over the weekend.
Well, I mean...
coming to our show.
Well, she's rehabbing. She's
not like
in a
AA or whatever.
She's not in a rehab. She's in a 12-step program to rehabilitate, obviously, somehow.
I got you.
Yeah, according to In Touch magazine, they're saying it's not just booze. Lindsay's mom admits that her daughter regularly attends AA meetings, but she's also, according to some friends, say that she's being treated for some sort of drug use, too. She is on, she looks like she's on some kind of powdered diet. That's for sure.
I found it very funny yesterday when Ralph said that maybe she needs to learn what the second A stands for.
And maybe her mom does, too. Yeah, she's going to meetings.
Be very, very quiet. I have a drinking problem. Today's celebrity birthdays, Amy Lee, singer for Evanescence.
I'll tell you, I was blown away by her voice at Acoustic Christmas.
I thought she was good, too.
Really got some pipes on her, I'll tell you. She's 25 years old today.
You know what, though? That guy still can't wake up.
You know, I know. I felt so bad for him.
For all this time, still can't wake up.
This morning, I knew what he felt like. Trust me. Tom DeLonge from Blink 182, Angels and Airwaves, is 31 years old. Tom, how are you going to celebrate your birthday this year?
I'm going to sing a song about times of ancient people and warriors and Norse things.
You're making the monkey crazy.
The monkey does not like your voice.
No.
Tom, sorry. Happy birthday.
F the monkey singing the song.
Jamie Foxx, actor, comedian, and singer, is 39 years old today. Steve Buscemi, one of my favorites. He was, of course, Tony Blundetto on The Sopranos. He's been in a ton of movies like Fargo. And he directed, wrote, directed, and stars in a movie. If you ever get a chance, if you're at the video store and you want something good and you've seen everything, pick up a little movie called Trees Lounge.
I don't know if you've ever saw it or not.
Trees Lounge? I think I saw that.
It's brilliant. It's really well done.
In a bar? Right?
Or that's the name of the lounge in Jersey, in the neighborhood where he grows up in. Yeah. 49 years old today.
Also, pick up Armageddon. Best movie ever. Back to you, Ralph.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Shut up, monkey.
See, even the monkey knows that movie blows. Morris Day and the Time. Oh, wee, oh, wee, oh. He's 50 years old. Monkey, do you like Morris Day and the Time?
Monkey.
Talking to you.
Hey!
All right. Kevin scared him.
All right. It's like having Eddie Murphy in the back of the room when you really just listen to it. What is wrong with you?
Ted Nugent, the Nuge, is 58 years old today. Dick Van Dyke, one of the great sitcom actors of all time. He's going to be in that new movie, Night at the Museum, with Ben Stiller. That opens up this Christmas.
I'm not aware of that one.
You haven't seen the trailer for that?
I don't think
Ben Stiller plays a night watchman in a museum, and all the displays come to life.
Oh, I like that. That sounds funny.
He's 81 years old today. And Bean's brother, Jeff Skunk Baxter from the Doobie Brothers, is 58 years old today.
No,
tell your brother we said hi, Bean.
No, not
we
a relation.
We love Skunk
all.
Baxter. Okay. You're pissed when he took the name Skunk because you wanted to be Skunk Baxter?
That's a great nickname.
No relation, really,
that I'm aware of.
Skunk, that rules.
Tell your brother we said hi. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First, let's talk to a friend of ours, friend of the show, Gene Simmons. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Hey,
we've been doing a lot of talking about Christmas gifts and how hard it is to find the perfect Christmas gift.
Yes.
And Ralph gave us some pretty spectacular Christmas gifts today. And you have some ideas for people? Is that the deal?
Well, as you know, we at KISS like to offer everybody as many products as possible. Whatever they want in their life, we offer them a version of KISS.
Okay.
In that product.
Okay.
So if you go to www.kissarmy.com anytime this holiday season, I'm guaranteeing you'll find the perfect gift for whoever it is in your life.
Okay.
For instance, what about the children in your life?
Children.
Everybody has little children, nieces, nephews,
right.
Perhaps sons and daughters.
You have a KISS item for kids?
No, KISS in a box.
KISS in a box.
Yes, it's much like a Jack in the Box, but instead of Jack jumping out, it'd be myself or Ace Frehley, or perhaps Peter Criss, whoever you like, whoever is your favorite KISS member.
Makeup or no makeup?
Oh, no, full makeup and in full preparation.
You don't think that would scare the kids a little?
No, in fact, children love KISS. We've
done
focus groups. Lisa May, speaking of Gene Simmons in a box.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, let's not, we can't really talk about that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I didn't get that at first.
What the hell's wrong with you?
You okay, Lisa?
Wow.
I got it now.
All right. Coffee this morning. How about the custom KISS stocking? Everybody needs stockings.
A KISS stocking?
Around Christmas time, you put up your stocking at the fireplace and hope that Santa fills it with something.
Right, but don't most family put the kid's name on it?
Well, how about putting your kid's name on that stocking right underneath a nice picture of Gene Simmons or perhaps, again, Peter Criss? You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Lisa May, speaking of stockings, I've got a hefty gift that I'd like to deposit in your skin stocking.
Gene, seriously, we can't talk like that.
Skin stocking.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
Well, it's always hard to find, Lisa May. I know you have many men in your life, gentlemen callers.
Sure.
It's always difficult to find the perfect gift for them.
Hundreds. She's been buying for months.
Yes. Well, we've got plenty of gifts for that manly man. The barbecue set, for instance, the KISS barbecue set with the various spatulas and tongs, if you will, with covers with the heads of all the KISS members on top. We have the toolbox as well. And, of course, we have the tackle box for the outdoorsman if he needs any fishing products.
Fishing tackle, right. Yes.
Speaking of fishing, Lisa May.
No,
geez.
A fragrant sturgeon that I might be interested in.
You freak everybody out when you talk like this. You gotta back off a little.
Gross.
I'm sorry. How about the festive KISS nativity scene? And their
nativity
scene? Yes, they're religious tableaus. They're graphic representations of different biblical scenes. But instead of Jesus, Moses, St. Peter, you have KISS members.
Okay.
Say around around the last dinner, things like that.
So who's the baby Jesus?
Of course, Gene Simmons.
Gene Simmons.
Yeah. All right.
Listen, speaking of Christianity.
Yeah?
How are you
Where are you going with this one?
Can I baptize you with some gene juice?
Oh, I didn't even think you could get
I
out of that
that's
one.
That's sacrilegious, frankly.
Yeah. I'm Jewish. Don't care. We also have the Kiss lamination machine.
Fill in your joke
Pillow.
Here.
Speaking of laminate, who's am I?
You're really just going to poo-poo all my jokes, Lisa? And finally, this year, for the first time, we're opening up the KISS offshore betting service.
Offshore betting?
Yes, we know that around Christmas time, football, especially NFL football,
right.
is very big. A lot of people gather around
Rose Bowl,
around the TV and watch,
BCS Bowl,
watch NFL games and college games. That's right.
Sure.
Betting becomes much more prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided we'd have the offshore online betting service at www.kissarmy.com. And all the members of KISS will give our picks as well to help you better calculate the spread.
You mean you'll tell us which team is going to win?
That's right. We're experts in many things, not to mention football, of course.
Right.
And like I said, we will help you calculate the spread.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa May, speaking of the spread.
Okay, thank you. It's time. It's the time we've all been waiting for, Lisa.
Is it?
Can you get us some kind of Christmas music, Psycho Mike, any kind of a bed or something? Because every year for her birthday and for Christmas, we call QVC, and we don't know what they're selling at the time. We just call in whatever happens to be on the screen at that moment.
Yes.
Is your Christmas gift.
Because you're cheap bastards. That's why you
that's
do it.
That's it. And they have no imagination.
We do usually get out of it having to split a $25 gift.
Because if you look back over the years of Christmas gifts Lisa May has received.
Can we talk about them?
They've all been good.
There was the Tiffany do-it-yourself make a lampshade kit.
Yes.
I remember that.
Which she gave away.
No, I still have it.
All right.
I still have that.
Right.
Because
was...
I figure one day I'll break my leg and have absolutely nothing to do.
You'll kill yourself before
I'll
you do that.
I'll bust that baby out.
There was the model of the lunar landing module.
Oh, that's right.
What'd you do with that?
I actually traded that with a listener for self-defense classes. Yeah. That worked out really well.
So she used her gift so that she could beat us up.
She's gotten various ugly purses and shoes.
Remember those
faux
sort of
turquoise jewelry?
Bad jewelry.
A lot
yeah.
of bad
yeah.
jewelry. Got the cubic zirconium ring with three diamonds in it.
See,
and that
no
diamond
one knows.
Fell out like a week later.
Diamondettes.
Last birthday, I got a floor mat.
Oh, that's right.
That I just gave away to a listener who called in, who then called back and said, oh my God, this is so ugly.
You're so not grateful. Mm,
I got a straw hat with a leopard print scarf.
I remember that. That was good. Yeah.
A phonics game.
That was good. Remember the year that we called and you played a joke on us, and Lisa had a friend of hers act like she was at QVC, and
yeah.
it was, what was it, like a TV
my
or something?
Friend
it was
Lars.
A plasma screen television.
Yeah. And we were freaking
panic.
Out.
Like $5,000.
Oh, no, we can't possibly pay that. She just awesome. That was a good prank.
That yeah. was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, but not this year. This
and then
year,
I didn't even get anything that year. That was the burn on
that's
me.
That's right.
Yeah, but
we ran out of time to make the call.
Yeah. And we just saved you the time of getting rid of it.
That's true.
That's all we did. So we're going to call right now. We have no idea what it is.
I have a good feeling about this year.
Do
I think
you really?
This is the year that breaks the long tradition of crappy gifts.
The log jam of crap.
Yes.
So you're saying this may be an expensive
Happy holidays,
venture.
Mom. This is Selma.
May I
have your
animal,
please?
Hi, Selma. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock Radio in Southern California. We're on the air, and every Christmas we call you guys, and whatever you're showing on the TV screen at this moment is what we want to buy for Lisa, our friend, for Christmas.
They just roll the dice.
We have no idea what you're showing right now, but whatever it is, and this is very real, we've got an account with you.
Hello?
She hung up on us.
Sorry, Lisa.
Wow. No, all right. Merry Christmas,
you
Lisa.
You call back. Call back right now.
Hey, we tried. What do you want from us?
They've never hung up on us.
Back.
Usually they play along with our shenanigans.
They let us buy stuff every single time.
We've never had a problem.
All right, one more time, but I'm telling you. Sometimes
Kevin is not the most, I don't know, what trustworthy person.
Maybe
you can
establish
just tell, even on the phone.
I didn't touch it.
Establish immediately that we do.
Darlene, would you like to order?
Hi, Darlene. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. My name is Kevin, and we're on the radio in Southern California, and we like to buy something from QVC because you guys have such great products. And every year for Christmas time, we just call you up at random. We are not watching your TV show right now, but whatever you have on the screen, and this is a real thing, we have an account with you guys, okay. We want to buy for our friend Lisa, whatever it happens to be this second.
It's going
to
be my Christmas present.
Okay, Lisa.
Tell me if it's good.
So let us know what you're showing right now on the screen.
Right now, I'm showing the polished round snake necklace, 14 karat gold. We
what?
Have a choice of lengths also.
Really?
What? Describe that for us, would you?
Mm-hmm. We have anywhere from, we have 16, 18, 20, or 22 inches.
16.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, you keep going.
Keep going.
Okay. This is what it says. You want me to read the whole description?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Please.
This polished round snake necklace is crafted from 14 karat gold.
Mm-hmm.
This round snake chain will roll nicely with the curves of your neckline.
Mm-hmm.
This necklace secures with a lobster claw clasp.
Okay.
Available in white or yellow 14 karat gold.
Is it? Wow. Is it fake gold?
No.
It's real gold.
It's real gold.
Oh, I can get white gold. I love that.
I was afraid this would happen.
This sounds nice.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have those choice of length.
How much is it?
It depends on the length we go with.
Okay, well, give me all three prices.
I have four, actually.
Four
lengths, okay.
16-inch is $90.
Mm-hmm.
18-inch is
$102. Nice.
20 is $118.
Uh-huh.
And the 22 is $132.
$132.
Yeah.
She'll take the 16-inch.
Let's get the 22-inch one. What do you say,
22.
Lisa?
Oh, I think that would be fabulous.
Man.
22-inch?
In
yes,
the white
Darlene.
Gold,
yes, we
please.
Will. In the white.
White gold. Anything else?
How about that? No, what we're going to do is we're going to put you on hold, and our producer is going to give you all of our information. We have a credit card with you and the whole deal, okay?
Right.
We're totally serious about
this. Hold on, and Jay will pick up. Lightning will pick up with you in just a second.
All righty. Thank you.
You're welcome. I say we go with the first woman.
I think that's a decent gift.
That is.
I say we go with the first woman, though, because the first woman really was the first person we talked to.
The first woman hung up.
Yeah, we can't really go with her.
Merry nothing to go with to you. Jimmy Kimmel is in the studio with us. How about that?
Hey, I know, Jimmy.
It's exciting, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever done radio before?
I have. I did it once for 5 years with you guys. You remember that?
No.
You remember that?
What'd you do?
I did sports, and I had a very thick New York accent. You don't remember that?
What years?
It's been so long since we've had sports.
It was from 1994, I believe, January of 1994 until sometime in 1999, a good solid 5 years. We ended with midgets. We played basketball against midgets.
I don't have a memory of any of this.
We would never do that.
Huh. That's just insulting.
That would be mean, wouldn't it?
Play against midgets.
Yeah,
Bean, you remember this, right?
You're talking about, you were that sports guy with Mark and Brian for like 5 years, right?
No. I was on your show.
What's it like for you, Jimmy Kimmel, having the same name as that very attractive and popular late night TV show host? Is that the weirdest?
Do people come up to you and say, hey, you must be that Jimmy Kimmel? And you have to say, no, I'm not. I just have the same name.
No one ever mentions that, actually.
Never does.
You know what's funny?
It's strange because you look a lot like that guy.
People will say to me, you look like Jimmy Kimmel. And I'll always just act like annoyed that I've been compared to him and keep moving.
That guy's an a-hole.
Good response.
Well, it's good to see you guys. It is because it's like visiting your parents at the holidays, except with no food.
Right. There's food in the next room, though, today.
Oh, there is?
Yeah. Alex,
wow, you guys are not kidding around.
Alex brought it in. It's her Christmas gift. And
oh,
awesome.
I see.
But you don't get it. I mean, it's for us.
And you're sure she's not poisoning it
not
after
positive.
All the abuse?
Yeah. Not okay. positive, no.
We could all drop at the end of the show.
But we let Lisa eat first.
I'm fine so far.
That's
she's
the way to go.
She's our canary in a coal mine, right.
So the last break, we called QVC, and we bought Lisa a very attractive $122 gold necklace.
Yeah, oh, you got screwed again.
It was decent.
Jimmy, that compared to past years is the best gift ever.
No. I remember.
A floor mat last time.
We were doing this when I was here a long time
Stop
ago.
If with
you
that.
Say
and
so.
Lisa, you got a you got a gift that Kevin and Bean were despondent over. It was like a $500 item.
What was it?
It was expensive. Yes, definitely. Definitely. Bean, okay. You don't remember this?
I don't.
Okay,
I'm
now
sorry.
You're high.
Because you guys have got to stop smoking pot.
Jimmy was on the show, and we bought you a $500 gift.
It's because Lisa, the queen of revisionist history, every year tries to guilt us into buying her something good because she says every year she gets a crappy
That's
gift.
That's true.
So we just pretty much at this point accept that it's a crappy gift. We don't remember there's ever been anything good, and apparently neither does she.
This is a pretty crappy gift.
Dude, not compared. That's
really
Phonics
good.
Game.
I'd rather have a floor mat than this polished round snake necklace.
Lisa, listen to this, though. By the time you guys got back through to QVC and talked to the second lady, there were only 29 seconds left in the necklaces that Kevin and Bean ended up buying you. Since then, everything has been a crappy parade of hoop earrings and ugly bald necklaces. It looks like you actually made out this year. Congratulations. So if we'd called like a minute later, it would have been far worse than it is now.
The first woman hung up on us, and I thought that was fine. I mean, that's her statement to Lisa for Christmas this year, as far as I was concerned. And then she made us call back. Because she's that way.
It's all, you have to compare it to everything else. And in which case, I am now a queen.
I remember you getting something good, and I remember the guys being very upset. I remember thinking,
fantastic.
Oh, what's the big deal? That's $250 each.
Because we're used to paying $25, that's why.
I don't remember anything that cost that much.
Awesome. Well, this is, she said this has a snake, somehow it's a snake thing, so I was thinking maybe it's this.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane!
Are you saying you bought Lisa Samuel L. Jackson?
Yes.
Now that would be a good Christmas gift.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
It is 7:42 on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's Jimmy Kimmel, of course, from the TV and Santa Carl. I understand carpooled with you. He's in the next room and he'll be in after 8.
He's already here.
To mention,
he is
Santa
here.
Carl,
yeah,
yeah, oh. Santa Carl came in with Jim.
Cool.
I just want to mention because I don't we don't see Jimmy very often. We don't talk to him on the air as much as we'd like. But Jimmy Kimmel actually extended an invitation to me, Bean, to come to his home on Sunday, and I accepted. I was at Jimmy's house Sunday with the guys watching football.
Jimmy, what would cause a guy at this point to send out the invitation to Bean?
Now, when you say invitation, Bean, you mean you said, "Hey, are you doing football? I'm going to come over," right?
Well,
but that's an invitation? What do you mean by
it? You've said to me, by the way, on many occasions, if you're ever in town on a Sunday, you have an open invitation to come on by.
You do have a standing invitation. But you're always welcome.
But when you say that, you know he's not coming.
And yeah, well, that's why I leave the open invitation.
Right.
I mean, you know.
What a shock when he showed up.
But he doesn't come to our houses. That's what's weird about that. He said it was the first time he's been in somebody else's house in 2 years. That's how bad it's getting.
Yeah. Wow. Well, the key difference is, number one, I know you say he hasn't been to your house. He likes me.
Well, that's true.
So that's
he doesn't like any of us. That is true. That's a big step.
But
I wasn't
thinking. He doesn't have an invitation to my house.
Well, none of us have a standing invitation. That's
number two, he's a huge football fan. Bean, there's nothing Bean loves more than football. Well, he loves anything where it's you're throwing around something made out of one of his pets.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, if he can't play it, he wants to watch it. That's for damn sure.
And we were happy to have him, actually. We had it was a good time.
He ruined the day?
And not only, and usually, I mean, the last time he came, he kind of zipped in and zipped out. He hung out for a while.
I like that we're talking about him as if he's not here.
I am here, actually. Now, but
you can hear us?
I had nothing to do that day because it was Acoustic Christmas. I was basically just killing time until the show. But the way this came up is that Jimmy was in Seattle on the Monday Night Football broadcast with the Seahawks a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Totally shined me. Like, never told me he was coming. I found out about it on the TV. That's the kind of friends we are.
We tried to have this conversation with him, which is, why would he call you? You don't do anything with anyone. Why would possess him?
Well, not only that, but my cousin Sal and I discussed it. I was like, we should go up, you know, to Bean's house and say hello to Bean. Yeah. But then we remember, like, when Money went out there to visit, there were bullets fired. I mean, it was...
The first words were, what the F are you doing?
And the second was, get off my property.
From Bean to Money.
And I don't know what I'm going to find. Up there, some like
bodies.
Island of Dr. Moreau type situation where there are animals that look half like a pig and half like Bean.
Like Bean's head?
That's not what I want to see. So I decided that it would be better if I just went to the football game and then went home.
That's probably a pretty good choice. Jimmy, I was watching your show last night, and you had the 911 call from Nicole Richie, which I thought was amazing that you got your hands on it that quickly.
Yeah. But we were able to get that.
The guy who actually called 911 when Nicole Richie was driving the wrong way.
Operator?
I'm calling to report an SUV driving westbound in the eastbound lane near the Buena Vista exit of the 134 freeway.
Okay, who's in the SUV, sir? Is it Paris, Lindsay, Brittany, or Nicole?
How would I know that?
Sir, it's the middle of the night. Those are your four choices. Who are you going with?
I'll say Nicole.
We'll send out a unit ASAP.
So that's how it goes.
Yeah.
Well, I can't say. I mean, we didn't exactly obtain that. We just took it as just a clip from the news.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So they were showing it on Channel 4 or whatever, and you just took it.
Exactly.
You're not allowed to do that. It's a different network.
You know, you're allowed to
do
that.
You can.
Well, okay. No one says anything about it anyway. Let's put it that way.
Okay. I was looking at your upcoming guests for this week.
Yeah.
I see Sean and Marlon Wayans tonight.
Yeah.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I see Forrest Whitaker tomorrow night, who's fantastic.
Him. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, which I. And I also... I also see Beck. Now, Beck is a fascinating little dude.
Yeah.
He's a strange one.
Yeah,
and
he is.
And over the weekend, he played our Acoustic Christmas, and Jed the Fish, who's bye-bye lately, did an interview with him.
Yeah, I chatted with Jed at the Valley.
Oh, you did?
Did you?
Yeah.
So you know.
Did he make any sense to you?
No. None.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a little of Jed with Beck, and maybe you can get, an interviewing technique or tip or something, a way to get into the real Beck on his show.
So you're saying the way the little place we keep in our brains that we have for the music could actually affect our visual perceptions.
I just got lost.
So that's the kind of.
By the way, when you're doing an interview with Beck and you're the weird one.
Yes, that's what we were saying. It's like he's kind of strange. He's a genius, but he's kind of strange to talk to. He's a very fascinating guy, but when Beck can't follow you, that's trouble. I would like you to write that question down though verbatim and deliver it again to
us. Well, here's the thing: we tape. We actually every once in a while we will tape a thing in advance. Like if there's a band in town.
Oh yeah,
we tape Beck's performance. Last week, and
I see. Okay,
Jed ain't the only crazy one.
No, I know. I know. That's Beck, what I'm saying.
Beck will not go up or down ramps.
Really?
He won't go up or down ramps.
And he considers the hall into our office a ramp, which it is not by any definition a ramp. It does, there's no grade to it whatsoever.
So he has to go up or down stairs. He doesn't, if it has any kind of a...
He will only go up or down stairs. He will not go on ramps.
Awesome.
So when he came into the building and then realized he was in what he determined to be a ramp, he became troubled immediately, and they had to... escort him through a side door onto the stage so he could walk up onto the stage, down into the audience area, out on flat ground, through the doors, down the stairs to the green room.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
He won't go on ramps.
Did he have a ramp incident sometime?
He was raped by a ramp. It's actually called ramped. It was really a violent thing, and we shouldn't be making fun of it. But
for some reason I was there without Bean, and I was interviewing back at right when we started, and I'm still bad at it, for God's sakes. But I was sitting there on the bus with Beck, and I just remember thinking, he's so much smarter than I am. He's got so much talent.
Yeah,
and
but
I
don't always think that when you're talking to another, right?
That's true. That is true. That's generally my thinking. But Beck is kind of a genius, crazy guy.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And I remember walking out of the bus going, I didn't even follow what just happened in there. I can't even remember what went on.
Yeah, but you noticed when you came out of the bus, you were not on a ramp.
I was not. No, it was a step.
And God forbid
that's true.
Anything ever happens to Beck, because if you were, like, say, in a wheelchair or something like this, he would not be able to move.
He'd have to get one of those ones that walk upstairs.
Yeah, he would have to get sort of magic robot wheelchair to walk around in.
Well, he's the best. There are some people that are just crazy genius, and you're just glad they're there, and he came out on stage at Acoustic Christmas, and he had those marionettes that looked just like him. And then the rest of the show, they were all mimicking. I mean, who thinks of that stuff?
But let me tell you something. I have a great story, and this may be good radio just to tease this. That Brandon Flowers of the Killers told me.
Yeah.
At Acoustic Christmas.
Acoustic Christmas, yes.
Now,
it might be the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Might be the funniest thing I've ever heard.
All right. Well, that's coming up.
Excellent.
We were going to break, but that's fantastic.
Let's just say this, that it involves a retarded Filipino.
I'm in. You got me.
What's that for a tease right there?
You had me at retarded Filipino. All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat next. Jimmy Kimmel is here, 5 till 8. Time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph.
Before you get to the retarded Filipino story, let's talk about what's going on in the world of entertainment, shall we?
Absolutely.
So bummed. From the highest of highs to the lowest of lows, yesterday I reported that Pauly Shore had been punched in the face while performing stand-up comedy in Odessa, Texas.
Yeah.
Turns out TMZ.com tells us the whole thing was a fake. He hired the actor to come up on stage and pretend to be a redneck and punch him in the face, and cops played along and drug the guy off the stage, and turns out he wasn't really punched in the face at all.
He did a good job with it, though.
He did. It was very believable.
I guess.
It was his best performance in any motion picture or video ever, that's for sure.
Ralph, did TMZ have the interview with Pauly Shore after the incident? Because I do have the K-Rock audio if you want it.
Yeah, I think they did.
Oh, they did, okay.
Yeah, and it goes a little something like this, right?
There are real definite lines that you do not cross. Obviously, everybody's, you know, trying to get ratings, trying to get noticed, trying to be this and that. But there are lines that you just don't cross, and that's one of them.
I don't know what he was thinking. That to me, that's just crazy.
He's just lying there. Pauly Shore's just lying, saying he wouldn't cross that
line. I
want
to defend Kevin and say he was not lying. He was saying to the reporter, there are lines that you don't cross.
Right.
I, on the other hand, frequently cross.
I didn't say I wasn't crossing them.
This looks like it's going to be one of the biggest feuds in the rap world.
Yes.
Kanye West going up against Evel Knievel. Yes, retired daredevil Evel Knievel is suing Kanye West, claiming
he stole some of his rhymes.
Yes.
He got him pregnant?
He ripped off his trademark look.
His trademark look.
In a recent music video, apparently Kanye does a character named Evel Kanye Evel.
wearing a white, red, and blue jumpsuit and...
well, that's not the same.
Jumping over a gorge in a rocket, much like Evil did during the Snake River Gorge jump.
Why isn't that... I mean, he's not out on the road pretending to be a daredevil. It was for a video, right? It's an homage.
Yeah, but... Think of all the kids that are going to mistake Evel Knievel for Kanye West, and he doesn't want that.
Yeah, it's not ever going to happen once.
Imagine Evel Knievel waking up and going, why am I black?
Exactly.
Maybe that's what happened.
Scared the death out of the old dude.
Wow.
Yeah, apparently he's looking for some money. He's claiming infringement of copyright. Apparently he's got his image and his name copywritten, and he wants some money. So we'll see how that pans out.
Okay.
Maybe Kanye will just have him popped. You know what I'm saying, yo?
Evel Kanye Knievel.
Knievel, I think it is.
Knievel. Yes, yeah. The Broadway musical based on the popular motion picture High Fidelity. Remember that movie starred John Cusack and Jack Black? Loved that film.
It was good.
They made a Broadway musical out of it, and after 14 performances, the $10 million show is closing its doors on Sunday.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine mounting a Broadway production for $10 million, having 14 shows, and then just lock the doors?
Wow.
That's what happened to Rosie O'Donnell's show. Remember the show that she backed on Broadway? It was the exact same deal. She put $10 million in it, and it just collapsed.
It was the Boy George life story set to music.
Yes. That's right.
What did she expect?
She deserved it.
But this High Fidelity was from a big best-selling book by Nick Hornby, you recall, and then the very popular John Cusack movie. It seemed like this is the kind of musical that would work on Broadway. I wonder what the problem was.
Unfortunately, critics hated it, but apparently audiences hated it. So that's one of the reasons it didn't do so well. And there's another lawsuit over the Borat movie. A guy is suing Sacha Baron Cohen for a scene that wasn't even in the film.
What?
This is how much the mania for suing this dude has caught on. Apparently, there's a scene where Borat was in a bathroom with a guy, and they're at the urinals, and Borat comments on the size of his junk.
Right.
And the guy that was in the scene is suing Sacha Baron Cohen because he said he wasn't told that it wasn't a documentary for Kazakhstan, and it's a regular motion picture.
But it didn't make it to the movie.
Apparently, it's in one of the commercials or trailers for the film and has been seen on YouTube as sort of deleted scenes. So it is being circulated around, but it never actually made it to the feature film.
He's suing
for an undisclosed amount.
Wow.
We should sue him, too. we should just get in on some of that money.
Sue Borat?
Yeah.
Or sue the guy who's suing Borat?
No, it's a gravy train. We should all sue Borat because I thought it was a... thing about Kazakhstan. I'm very upset.
I believe that there will be an America one day where every citizen will be able to sue Borat.
I like it.
Did you see that movie, Bean?
Yeah.
Jimmy?
That's Jimmy. Right. Bean's the one on TV.
Did you laugh?
I loved it.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
I love naked men. I really do.
Oh, yeah, you do.
That scene made me want to run screaming from the theater.
I saw it for these guys. I said, there's a scene that will make Kevin break out into a cold sweat and run screaming from the theater.
It kind of does. With me, it was just funny, but the guy I was with could barely watch it. It's just so offensive to guys.
Not me. I loved it.
It's and all that fat.
He had the biggest, roundest...
Turns out, no.
It turns out, no.
I think you can say it. I can say it on TV, by the way.
Really?
Things on television.
Different. Really?
Yes.
Well, you're in it's a new one. Safe Harbor world.
No, I'm telling you. It's a new addition to...
I hope
Let's
that's
try
true.
It and see no, what happens.
No, when we were
Let's
on not. Talking about the Mel Gibson arrest, and he said, what are you looking at, sugar boobs? We couldn't say that.
I've said it 100 times on my show.
Really?
Oh, that angers me.
I almost think it would be different if you were talking about a guy than a girl.
But his are bigger than most girls.
Yeah, true.
So I don't know what you want to do with that.
Yeah, well, anyway, they were big, round, hairy
boobs.
Yeah.
Right. That we can say.
And there's a Star Wars geeks dream come true. Apparently, the country of Tunisia, where they filmed the original Star Wars, left all the buildings and sets up and maintained them from the original production of the film in 1976.
Really? 1970? 30 years ago?
Yeah. So you can go there to Tunisia, and they've created what is sort of a Star Wars shrine. You can go there and see all the original... You see the bar where the famous bar scene where the cantina... Yeah.
Can you hear geeks stampeding?
Luke Skywalker's home where he lived with his aunt and his uncle.
Tatooine, or whatever they call that.
Tatooine.
Yeah.
It's all still there.
Wow.
They shot it in Tunisia?
That's where they shot it, Tunisia. Yeah.
The spaceship was in Tunisia? What did they stop shooting in Tunisia?
Oh, Tatooine, where Luke lived on that moisture farm.
No, that's the original one.
That's Star...
Star Wars.
Star Wars. Sure. Star Wars.
Oh, Star Wars. I was thinking of Star Trek.
No.
No wonder I was confused.
Yeah. Shatner got his toupee in Tunisia. That's why we were
Toupeesia.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Tom DeLonge.
from Blink 182 and Angels and Airwaves celebrates his 31st birthday today. Tom, how you gonna celebrate your birthday?
Gonna blow out some candles and open presents.
Uh-huh. Good times.
Stuff.
Right. Amy Lee, singer for Evanescence. She's 25 years old today. Jamie Foxx, actor, singer, comedian, Oscar winner Jamie Foxx, by the way. Think he'll get another one from Miami Vice? Think he'll be nominated?
I'm guessing here, but no.
39 years old today. Steve Buscemi. He was Tony Blundetto on The Sopranos. He's been in Fargo, a bunch of other major motion pictures. Great actor. 49 years old today. Morris Day, singer of The Time, is 50. Ted Nugent, the Nuge.
Shot Jimmy in the chest with an arrow one time.
Yeah, he did.
You do?
That son of a bitch.
On purpose?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Or were you dressed as a deer?
Right.
Something
his,
like that.
Right through his chest.
Is he one of the craziest people you've ever met, Jimmy? Ted Nugent? He seems
I didn't
like
even
he
meet him, actually, because he was... We shot that. He was in, like, Oklahoma or something, and we were in Detroit hoping to shoot this bit with him. He's like, yeah, we'd love to shoot. That'd be great. We'd love to do it. And then when we got there, he's like, oh, I'm in Oklahoma. So we had to set it up so that his end of the pointing the arrow and all that stuff at me was in Oklahoma.
So he didn't really shoot you?
No, it was fake.
You shot your part in Tunisia, didn't you?
That's right.
So angered by you, fake.
That Nugent sure loves to kill little animals, doesn't he?
He does.
Oh, who
does?
Loves that.
God bless him.
And Dick Van Dyke.
You know who else do?
He's coming right up.
Carl, just a minute. We're not
hold
ready
on,
for you.
Carl.
Hold on.
Okay. Dick Van Dyke, of course, one of the legendary sitcom actors of all time and, you know, didn't surpass his work on Diagnosis Murder. But still, the Dick Van Dyke Show, one of my favorite shows.
Sure.
He's 81 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz big.
That is The Killers on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. A Great Big Sled is the name of that song. And it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 11 minutes after 8. Jimmy Kimmel's in the studio.
That's a great... Oh, not yet.
Not yet, Santa Carl. Not yet. By the way, speaking of The Killers, two things. First of all, if you do go to iTunes and download that song, the proceeds go to the Bono Red Charity, which is awesome. They wrote and recorded that song specifically for the charity. It is a great song. Secondly, is it just my imagination, Jimmy Kimmel? I know you're a Killers fan, but they really do sound so much like Meatloaf, it's uncanny. Don't you hear like a lot of Meatloaf in their work?
No.
Meatloaf? What? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really.
Just like at the end of that song where they have the girl going, oh, I can't do that. It just reminds me so much of, you know, of a Meatloaf song. It's just the way they're
ranked. I'm not that familiar with Meatloaf.
Me either.
Really got into the loaf. Although yeah, okay. I had him on the show and he didn't really seem anything like the Killers.
So you're hanging with the Killers because you love them because you're both from Las Vegas.
Yeah.
At the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Sunday night. That was a great performance. They had the audience in the palm of their hand Sunday night, didn't they?
Yeah, they were great. So, Brandon, I don't know. We're talking about Las Vegas because we're both from Las Vegas. And he was telling us, and you'd think if this was me, this would be a story that I would tell everyone I met immediately.
Right.
But no one else in the band had heard this story before. The story goes like this. Brandon was working somewhere. I don't even remember where he was working, but the place was owned by a Filipino family.
Right.
And the Filipino family had a baby with Down syndrome.
Yeah.
A son. And what did that Filipino family name their baby? Would anyone like to take guesses?
The Down syndrome son.
I don't know. William Hung? William Hung?
No, good guess. Oh, good guess. Lisa? No.
I don't even have one. Mike?
Retard?
No. No, they named their child Bozo.
No.
Yes.
No. Do they know what that means in America?
Yes.
They do?
They did it. He said they did not do it without a sense of humor.
Really?
Are you kidding?
They did it because they said, oh, we've got this kid who's got Down syndrome.
Well, doesn't he have enough problems without being called Bozo?
We're gonna name him Bozo.
Oh, my God.
And I said, well, what was their last name? And he thought about it for a minute, and then he said, Gono. So the kid's name is Bozo Gono.
That kid should be taken away from those parents.
Didn't he break up the Beatles? Bozo Gono.
Wow.
Greatest name of the decade.
It's hard to beat. I'll give you that.
Is
Is that kid old enough yet to work on the Jimmy Kimmel Show? Because it sounds like you would hire him.
You know what? He's probably only 8 or 9 years old, but the moment he turns 16, Bozo will be perched at my side.
Oh, like he needs to be 16. Come on. Fantastic. They need to raise that kid.
I don't want to have to drive him. That's the thing.
Okay. Yeah. I got you.
All right. Jimmy Kimmel is here. It's Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, of course, with an all-new Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight, just after midnight on ABC Channel 7. Jim, I know you carpooled with your good friend, former NBA great Karl Malone. Could you wave him in from the other room?
Because hold on, I'll go get him.
Thanks.
Talk to him. It is.
Hello there. What the hell?
I didn't even hear a door open.
Oh. Did you want me to go through that whole thing?
Well, I thought.
Turn your head for 1 second.
He turns his head like that's going
to
help.
Like anyone can see that.
Carl, come on in here.
Oh, excellent. Hey, Carl.
Well, what the hell going on right now? Look at that right there, Kevin and Big. Come on now, Lisa May. Merry Christmas time to everybody right there.
Thank you.
And that's a really dang nice thing. What Carl Malone song at?
Oh, we have a Carl Malone
song.
Come
on now.
Well, we're getting to it. We got to do the introduction. Here we go.
There we go. That's right there. Here comes Santa Carl. Here comes Santa Carl for the boys and girls.
Yep.
He's got a sleigh full of toys and goodies and a bag of squirrels. He don't care who the children are, he loves them all the same. So be glad and don't be sad when Santa screws up your name. That's Santa Carl.
Carl Malone, love that song.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Santa Carl, listen to that song all year round, every day. Love that song right there.
You listen to that
made
song?
Made by Ralph. That's right.
All day, every day.
That's right, every day. Santa Carl, listen, and you go, oh, here comes Santa Carl. Here comes Santa Carl. Right there, Santa Carl. And that's what right there makes Santa Carl happy.
It's not Christmas here at K-Rock unless we have the former Utah Jazz great Santa Carl in the studio to talk to the kids.
That's right, Laker 2. Santa Carl play with Laker
nope.
team.
I'd like sure. to forget that if you don't
Kobe,
mind.
Kobe, Brian, and Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah.
Right when
yeah.
he were a Laker. But then he left. He said, Kobe, you go to heck right now. Come Santa, what is his name? Shaquille O'Neal.
Yes.
Moving to Miami. Mm-hmm. And he
That's
did.
That's correct.
He
yeah.
did.
He
right.
did. Sure did. Now, Carl, so you come in and you talk to the kids because you know how to talk to the kids and you know how to make them happy at the holidays. What kind of children are you looking for here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show?
Santa Carl looking for good kids mm-hmm. who've been good all time, all year round,
okay.
and who've been cleaning up their room and keeping their gun clean, keeping their squirrel shooting guns all nice and clean and oiled up.
I don't think the little kids have the guns.
Little kids, well, where Santa Claus come from, all little kids have guns.
Okay.
They come out of the womb firing.
I see, okay.
That's right.
And we're looking for age, like what, 3 to 7-ish? Kind
Santa Claus looking for age 6 months. Through
no.
8 months.
No, they can't talk at that age, Santa Carl.
That's Santa Carl want kids who could talk. If you kid listening right now, you can't talk, Santa Carl don't want to talk to you, and you ain't getting nothing for Christmas.
Well, I don't know that that's the message.
And if they can't talk, they're not going to call us anyway.
Yeah,
so you don't
that's
have to worry
good.
About
that's
that.
Right. That's what Bean. Come on now, Mick. That's a good one right there. If they can't talk, they can't talk right there.
Exactly.
Right.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue. If you're 9, you have the Down syndrome, and your name is Bozo. We especially would like to hear from you here this morning.
Hold up now. If Santa Claus, if someone named Bozo call up Santa Claus, he going to go crazy.
Is that right?
That's right.
You know him that well?
Yep, well, yeah. Santa Claus, no worry. He making you good. If you're naughty or nice, I keep you on the list right there.
All right, 3 to 7-year-olds, 1-800-520-1067. It's your chance to talk. Your one and only chance, by the way.
Well, not just talk, but tell Santa Claus what you want for Christmas.
Exactly. So we will take your calls, and Santa Carl will talk to the kids next on K-Rock.
Here comes Santa Carl, here comes Santa Carl for the boys and girls. He's got a sleigh full of toys and goodies and a bag of squirrels.
K-Rock, Kevin and Bean Show.
He don't care who the children are, he loves them all the same. So be glad and don't be sad when Santa screws up your name.
Sing it if you don't.
That's good. Santa screw up your name. That's a dang thing right there. Santa don't screw up kid name. Santa know a kid's name. Santa know if where you been naughty or you been nice. Well, you've been touching yourself under sheet. Santa
well,
watching. Santa see all
that. I don't know
that
we need to talk about that, Santa Claus. It's
yeah.
the Kevin Beach on K-Rock 106.7 Q. It's a holiday tradition with Santa Claus.
Look at that right here. Big
Come on, Vic, now. You know this, Q. You've been working here like 50 years now.
K-R-O-Q.
K-R-O-Q, yeah.
That's good. That's right. That's crazy right now.
Listen, before we go to the kids, I just had to ask your opinion, Santa Claus, because you've been everywhere. You've seen everything. What do you make of one of the members of the K-Rock DJ staff here, our own Striker, having a tail? Did you hear about that? One of our DJs has a tail.
Well, that's a dang thing right there. And if Santa Claus could be serious right now for a second, right?
Okay.
That's a dude with a tail.
Right.
Right.
Now, not talking about no hair tail. That's a tail coming out spine right there.
Yeah. Right.
And
that's
mean
right.
That Striker part squirrel. And that means
it doesn't mean that at
he
all.
He on Home Alone list to be shot right now.
It doesn't mean that at all.
That's right. He the missing link between man and squirrel and Home Alone. This runs. You best you need to tell him to scurry up a tree right now, there, Striker, because Santa Claus coming at you.
Well, that's I shouldn't have asked. All right, let's start with Santa Claus. If you're ready to talk to the children, we'll start in Northridge today. We've got little Moy on the line.
What
little
the
Moy
hell?
Is a boy from Northridge. Moy, good morning. You're on the phone with Santa Claus.
Moy, want a toy hello. Right there? Yeah. Hello, Moy.
Hello.
Hello. How old are you, little Moy?
Hi, Carl.
Hello there. And how old are you there, sir?
Huh.
Have you been a good little boy all year round?
Yes.
Yep. Do you do your homework?
Yes.
You listen when your mom asks you? You say, Moy, you guys clean up this room right now?
Yes.
You ain't been looking at no naked magazine, right, Moy?
Okay, stop it. He's six.
Well, come on,
Santa Claus. Santa Claus. Made lady pregnant when he was 6 years old. Okay?
Just ask
that's
him
right.
what he was.
That's where elves come from.
Oh, now, I didn't know.
Little Moy, what would you like Santa Claus to bring you for Christmas time?
Nintendo DS.
What you want? A Nintendo DF?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, then. And what games you going to play on that in Nintendo DF?
A lot of coaching.
I want a Nintendo DS.
Now, little Moy, that's a good thing. And Santa Claus going to bring you that for Christmas right now. But he won't remind you, that voice you hear right now telling you what to do, you're going to hear that voice your whole life. Mom saying, tell him what you want, get what you want, pull over a right lane, don't shoot that squirrel, we in the mall.
Wait a minute. You know, why would she tell him that?
I don't know. You want apples too? Okay, Santa Claus gonna bring you apples
Santa
instead
Carol.
Of. A... Okay, Santa Claus don't understand what Moy is saying right now, or why adult would name child. Okay,
we gotta go right now. But Moy, okay, thank then. You. Merry Christmas.
That's
thank you for calling.
Confusing call right there because that's a boy named Moy, and that's
right.
A dang thing for a parent to do to child.
Yes.
All right.
Santa
Claus
rather see kid named Bozo.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Then
let's
Moy.
Get a little girl on the line for you, Santa Claus.
Okay,
let's get out
then.
Of Los Angeles, and we'll talk to 6-year-old Amanda, who has been patiently waiting. Hi, Amanda. Are you on the phone?
Hello, Amanda. What you want for Christmas time?
I want a Princess Genevieve doll.
Oh, that's cute right there. And what you gonna do with Genesee?
I think it's Genevieve, by the way.
Yeah.
Santa Claus.
Who did?
I think she's asking for the Princess Genevieve. I think it's a Disney doll.
Well, we out of Genevieve, but we got plenty of Genesee right now.
Okay.
And what you gonna do with that there, Amanda? What you gonna do with that Princess Genesee?
What?
What you gonna do with that doll when you get it under the tree on Christmas morning?
I'm gonna play with her.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's a good thing. And you gonna dress her up and wash her in the tub and light her on fire and all that stuff?
Santa Claus, she's not gonna light him on fire.
Oh, okay, that's good. Well, Santa Claus, we're just testing Little Mansion and
Amanda.
Saying right now, don't light doll on fire. And you have a Merry Christmas, Dan. Okay. Kevin,
right.
That's when you go next call.
I see. Okay. I'm just waiting to make sure that we got somebody on there.
Yeah.
Little Mansion was kind of quiet, I guess.
That's right.
Let's go younger. I don't feel like we're going young enough yet.
That's
so
good.
We're
going
to go to Gavin in Northridge. Good morning, Gavin.
Hello. Hello there, Gavin.
Hi.
It's Santa Claus calling you at home. And what you looking for Christmas time this year?
I'm going to open my present.
You want to open my present?
Yeah.
You want to open a present on Christmas morning?
Yeah.
Well, have you been good?
Yeah.
and you don't make poo-poo on a mama's rug?
Come on. Gavin's three.
Well, that's what three-year-old do.
I know.
If Gavin were 30, that's a weird question to ask. Okay. Right there. Right. But Gavin, three, and Gavin, you make poo-poo on mama's rug now. Tell Santa call the truth.
Okay.
Okay. You want what? That's why Santa asked for notes from kids. Because it's hard to understand what the hell, kid. That's what Santa's going to say. Write it down and mail it to somebody.
Gavin, what did you want?
Well, Gavin don't know what he wants. And that's a problem a lot of people have throughout life. Mm-hmm. They don't know what they want.
Right.
Like, King of Mexico there, still screening phones and doing a dang terrible job of it. He don't know what he want out of life, and he ain't never going to know.
That's true.
Senator Carl, apparently Gavin's mom spoke with the King of Mexico, and he was looking for a Wiggles DVD. I don't know if you're familiar with the Wiggles.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's for we're turning the kids gay with the Wiggle right there.
No, I don't know about that. But
if you're looking to have a gay kid, that's a great gift to give to make your kid totally gay Christmas time.
One last call. This is Natalie from Whittier.
Good morning. Okay, now.
Good morning, Natalie.
What's up, Naturally?
Hi. Natalie.
And how old are you today?
Good.
Good.
Okay, then. You're 5 years old?
Yes.
Yep. And when you turn 6, Naturally?
September the 24th.
And have you been a good little boy this Christmas?
It's a girl.
Carl. Have you been a good?
It's a girl.
What?
It's a girl.
How do you know?
Natalie.
Oh, okay, then. All right, well, have you been a good little girl this Christmas, Naturally?
Yes.
You have. And you do everything you're told, right?
Yes.
And you don't never talk back to Mama and Dada, right?
No.
And you ain't never use the F word, right?
Stop it.
Santa Carl.
That's good.
What's wrong with you?
Santa Carl need to make charge of these things right here, like Kramer.
We don't need to talk about Kramer. We have Natalie on the phone.
Kramer
we
says
don't need to talk about that now.
Natalie, you hear what Kramer went
we
ahead.
Don't.
We're saying on stage.
We don't.
That's a hell of a thing right there.
I need to drop down and get my thing together.
All right.
Naturally, Santa what Carl, you looking for Christmas this year? What do you want Santa to bring you under that tree? We'll wait.
Some books and
Did you say books?
We don't know what the heck.
Books.
You want books?
Uh-huh.
Well, you a little bookworm, aren't you, right there now? Now, that's a good thing. Does Santa Claus like hearing that? A little girl want books because one day she gonna grow up and never go to homecoming because she weren't reading books instead of getting out in the fresh air and running around. And that's a sad thing for Naturally, but that's a good thing for America because what we need right now in this country
Santa Carl, she's
is
five.
Less styling and more studying. And that's what Santa Claus say to the kids.
Okay.
And that's a great thing right there, Natalie.
So is that a thumbs up or thumbs down on the books?
That's a thumb up.
Okay.
Santa Claus going to bring you all sorts of books about cooking squirrel, shooting squirrel, looking at squirrel, tickling squirrel, doing all things to squirrel. It's called Squirrels. And Santa Claus wrote the book himself.
Okay. Fantastic. Yep. Well, thank you, Naturally. We appreciate it. Santa Claus, always great to see you at the holidays.
That's a great,
too.
You know what? That's a good thing right there. And Santa Claus loved talking to kids and loved talking to Lisa May. That's a Merry Christmas to you right
you
there.
You too, Santa
and
Carl.
Kevin and Big and Sicko Mike and all these sickos here. And little Ralph, Santa Claus going to bring him a whole truck full of prostitutes this here Christmas.
Is that right?
For him
awesome.
And
I didn't
his
realize
wife
you could ask
to
for
enjoy.
That. Okay.
That's right. Excellent. You could ask for anything. All Santa Claus ain't necessarily going to bring it, but if you're good this year, you're going to get it.
All right.
All
thank
right
you, Santa
then.
Carl.
Thank you, Kevin.
Right.
Big Merry Christmas, Big, up there
you
in
too,
Canada,
Santa
wherever you're living at now.
I don't know what's going on, but this is our final day before we go on vacation for the holidays.
Yay.
And Lightning has been running around and in production studios and sending stuff in. Say,
turn it down,
busy.
Turn it down. Nobody could listen.
Nobody knows what's going
well,
on.
It's
what's
not
happening?
That big a deal. I just think you'll enjoy this. I made some custom gifts here real quick. So
okay.
I
think
wow.
Yeah.
Nothing better than a homemade gift at Christmas.
No, like you know, I think the audience will appreciate it. Some of the diehard listeners.
Okay.
So the first one's going to go to Alex right here. These are all
producer Alex. Okay.
Yeah, these are all little T-shirts right here. This one, actually, this is a tank top. Alex, if you'll read this right here.
It says, "Now you're a guy who I don't know your name, Kevin."
Oh.
Yes. I have a Kevinism on my shirt.
A Mama with Kevin t-shirt.
Oh, that's a fantastic new product line, Lightning.
And for the real audio, Mike, you got that?
Now, you're a guy who, I don't know your name.
Oh,
see, awesome. That's why you got it.
That was his famous Gary Cole intro.
Since we're doing it. Right.
After I said, please welcome Gary Cole, Kevin told him he didn't know his name.
How you gonna come at me like that?
And the next one is for Lisa. She's got a tank top right here.
Baby doll tee.
Oh, Arsenio Hall is here, looking good. Beach.
Ooh, ooh. Arsenio Hall is here, looking good.
Yeah. All right.
Awesome.
Great.
Bean, this is yours, but I'm going to have Ralph read this one right here.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much, Lightning. I appreciate that.
Bean, it says, Lukey, Lukey, your ass is like a cookie. Gonna inject it and kill it just like its name is Tookie.
Lukey, Lukey, your ass is like a cookie. Gonna inject it and kill it just like its name was Tookie.
Oh, that's a good one right there.
I got a Lisa May t-shirt for Christmas. How about
this,
that?
This next one is for Ralph. Here you go.
These are great gifts, Lightning.
Yep.
Oh, well, I have one of the gold standards here of all time moments with Kevin.
Oh.
The sum of the parts is greater than all of the sum of the, well, you know, Kevin.
The sum of the parts is greater than the all of the sum of the, well, you know.
All right. And then Lisa, do me a favor. Hand this one over to Kevin.
Some very creative editing going on here.
No, it's all real.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, this one's this Kevin's shirt right here.
Oh.
It says, I just love peanut butter and would like peanut to be that I could talk to Peanut about with peanut butter. Bean.
I just love peanut butter and would like people to be that I could talk to Peanut about with peanut butter.
And it's very funny to see these written out phonetically.
These are white shirts with black lettering.
That's all right. Typeset lettering.
And Lisa, if you'll pass this to Psycho Mike, that's the very last one right here.
Let me guess what this is.
Up. Yeah, wonder what this could be.
Gee, I wonder what this could be.
Yeah. Oh, I feel so honored to have the gold standard. Is that... So he doesn't... Are you a regular Duck fan you watch all the time, him?
Are you a regular Duck fan you watch all the time, him?
Yeah.
Wow. Great.
Wow.
So there you go.
Thank you.
Well done, Lightning.
Good job.
We are so bad at our jobs, me especially, that Lightning can actually get away with giving gifts to each other because we're so spectacular.
Well, it sounded like there was plenty of bad to go around, Kevin. This isn't all about you this time. I'll tell you, we all have our moments with, it seems like.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Lightning. Very nice. Just after the top of the hour, we're going to talk to Chuck Liddell about the big Tito Ortiz fight, which is coming up, I believe, Friday, December 30th in Las Vegas.
I don't know why Psycho Mike is not already training to be a UFC fighter. Doesn't that seem like the perfect job for a guy like him?
No, he'd have to take his shirt off.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's true.
They can wear a shirt, can't they? If you want to.
Not in UFC. In other types of mixed martial arts, you can. You actually are forced to wear a gi in some, but not in UFC.
All right. Ralph is here with the final showbiz beat of 2006. Woo! Ralph, what's going on?
Woo! Well, it is the holiday season. That means people are going to be attending parties and having cocktails and
getting way too drunk and shouting, suck my third nipple, bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Right?
And if you're a celebrity, odds are you'll get behind the wheel and get busted over the holidays.
Yeah.
So there's a website called wagerweb.com that is putting the odds out there and taking bets on who will be the next celebrity to get popped with a DUI. So if you want to make some money over the celebrity drinking season, here's your opportunity.
This is celebrity drinking season?
Oh, sure. Now between now and Valentine's Day, I think it is. So here are the odds. Let's say you would say Nicole Richie, who just got popped, is due for another one soon. Maybe she'll be so miserable about the fact that she got stopped, she'll go out and get loaded again and get behind the wheel. She's going off at 1 to 24, so that means you got to bet 100 to win $2,400.
Okay.
So, in essence, she's a long shot, you know, because she just got one. So, she'll probably straighten her act out for a little while.
Scared straight for a bit.
Michelle Rodriguez, along the same line, she's 1 to 17, bet 100 to make $1,700. Okay. Christian Slater's 1 to 14. LC from Laguna Beach, Lauren Conrad, 1 to 15. George Clooney, oddly enough, is 1 to 12.
What?
He's never been in any kind of this kind of trouble, has he? No, he has not.
Huh.
Keith Urban's 1 to 10 if you think he's going to fall out of rehab.
Sure.
Mel Gibson's going off at 1 to 8. Got to bet 100 to win $800. I think that's a little low.
I do too, because it seems like it's been a long time since something like that happened with him before.
Andy Dix, 1 to 6.
See, he's sure money to me.
Danny DeVito, 1 to 5. I guess since his appearance on The View, his odds have dropped.
Sure.
Lindsay Lohan can bet 100 to win just 4. They're thinking she's going to pop any day now. Tara Reid, that's always a safe bet, 1 to 3. And Paris Hilton is the best odds
the worst odds, rather, at bet 100 to win 2, that she will get popped sometime soon.
So she's the odds-on favorite.
Exactly.
I gotcha.
Yeah, so you don't make much money. You got to go for a long shot. It's like being at the track. You got to pick a horse, a strong horse, and just go for the big money.
And then try to feed that horse alcohol.
So I'm going for Whitney Houston at 1 to 25. Bet 100 to win $2,500.
Where's Brittany on that list, by the way? The way she's been partying lately, it seems like she'd be likely, too, doesn't it?
I don't see Brittany on here at all.
Wow. Huh.
Isn't that funny?
Surprising.
Tara Reid, Andy Dick, as I mentioned. Ashley Simpson's on the list. Mary-Kate Olsen's going off at 1 to 13.
Colin Farrell.
Christian Slater, Colin Farrell not on the list. Jackie Chan's 1 to 18. Colin Farrell is 1 to 20. I'm sorry. Him and Tracy Morgan are at 1 to 20. And Frankie Muniz, also at 1 to 20. I didn't know he was a drink room driver. Seemed a little odd to me. But there you go. Sad news today. We just got word that Peter Boyle, very talented actor that most of you probably know best as Ray Romano's dad, and everybody loves Raymond, has passed away at the age of 71 years old.
Aww.
He was a wildly successful character actor in the 60s and 70s, did a ton of feature films. He did some great work in movies like Joe, The Candidate with Robert Redford. He's terrific in that. I probably remember him best before his work on television as the monster in Young Frankenstein, the Mel Brooks movie Young Frankenstein.
Oh, right.
He plays the Frankenstein monster in that. And if you've never seen that movie, you need to rent it just for the song and dance sequence with him and Gene Wilder doing Putting on the Ritz, where he is dancing as the Frankenstein monster and gets to sing the chorus.
Awesome. We have had Mr. Boyle on the show a couple of times, and he's just one of those actors, one of those people you meet that you get the impression you'd like could talk to for 4 hours. He's got so many stories. You know, he just, he always seemed like he had so much going on and so many interesting friends and interesting stories, interesting experiences. Just, just an overall good guy.
Wasn't he the guy that was John Lennon's best friend or some?
Yes. Best man at his first wedding. Yeah.
Best man at his wedding, yeah.
And it was a big deal for me growing up because Peter Boyle was a Philly boy, so he was a local hero when he was doing movies and television. It was a big deal for us to watch him because he had come from the same neighborhood. So, sad news. He seemed like a good guy.
Nice man.
Nice man.
Britney Spears is getting around these days. Apparently, TMZ.com says her new main squeeze is a record producer named Jonathan Rodham.
Yeah?
Here's the funny part, besides his name. Britney hired him to work on Kevin Federline's album.
Nice. Oh.
So she's banging the guy now who was Federline's producer on his CD.
She looked at him and she said,
I swear to God, I will mount you right now.
Yeah. So they're going at it pretty much left and right, according to witnesses who see them out and about here in Los Angeles. However, other people are saying that she's cozying up with Brandon Davis.
Oh. Ugh.
And also is rumored to have had an encounter in another nightclub bathroom with pro snowboarder Alexander Pauly.
Fantastic.
She needs to get out of the bathrooms. Seriously.
Let's think she can do it somewhere else.
She has a house.
In Touch magazine reports that she was partying in Hollywood and someone saw that her purse was full of prescription antidepressants like Paxil and Xanax. So that's all she's rolling these days.
Mm. Okay.
Hmm. She still have those little kids, Ralph? Are they still at home?
I don't think so. No, I think she got rid of those.
Okay.
I think Madonna adopted them. So they're in good hands now. And this is just silly. Talk about silly lawsuits. Evel Knievel, the legendary motorcycle daredevil. Remember Evel Knievel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 70s,
I don't remember much
he was
about
a
him,
big
but,
deal.
Yeah.
He jumped over the fountains at Caesar's Palace. That was one of his big jumps.
Didn't he wipe out a lot, though?
He's broken every bone in his body.
Yeah.
And that's not hyperbole. I mean, he's literally broken every bone in his body. He tried to jump the Snake River Canyon in a rocket car. Didn't go so well.
Right.
Yeah.
But apparently, Kanye West did a spoof on that jump in a recent music video. He used the name Evil Kanye Evil.
See?
And he was dressed in the same red, white, and blue jumpsuit that Evil used to wear when he was doing his daredevil escapades. And now, Evil is suing Kanye, saying that he infringed on his trademark.
Why wouldn't he say, hey, I'm old and out of consciousness. It's great that a hot young rapper is putting me in his video.
Give me a little homage,
as
they say.
Exactly. That's weird.
Yeah, so we'll see how much money he's demanding, but I can imagine it'll be a sizable amount because he knows Kanye's got deep pockets.
Hmm.
Finish this sentence for me. Kanye West is...
Black.
Was Kanye one of the 10 most intriguing people of 2006, according to Barbara Walters last night?
He was not. Yeah. They filled that slot with Jay-Z this year. And it was a fascinating interview. He just really doesn't like talking about Beyonce, though. I'll tell you that.
No, he always talks about the details of their relationship, doesn't he? Doesn't he always just offer up, how they like to have sex and where they go and what the level their relationship's at?
What's the relationship?
She's a great person.
Oh, that's not enough. Come on.
That's, you know, when you live your life, you know, so publicly and you put so much through your art, you know, you want to just not sit and talk about, you know.
Do you think that Beyonce is bootylicious? Well, did I say it right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my God.
It's not Swahili, Barbara.
I know.
Did I say that right? Bootylicious? Jesus. You're not speaking Latin.
Yeah, she might as well have been. I mean, what does she know?
She never looked more out of place than sitting in the 40 club or 40 watt club, whatever the club is that Jay-Z owns in New York, with Jay-Z trying to do an interview. It was very funny.
She's a 90-year-old white woman.
She is. What's she done with her eyes, Lisa? Her eyes, she's starting to end up with those bug-out eyes like the Runaway Bride.
Yeah, she probably had them lifted too many times.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
It was interesting because some of the names on the list, Ralph, you tune in because you want to see the Borat interview, and she didn't get an interview with Sacha Baron Cohen. She didn't
just
get
puts
a new
him
interview.
On the list.
Yeah. Didn't get an interview with Angelina Jolie, for instance. They show clips from other interviews, and it was a surprising number one this year too. I don't think I certainly didn't see it coming.
You sure Borat didn't have anything to say to Barbara? Because I think I remember. I mean, maybe you missed this beat. Maybe you got up to get a big gulp of soda or something at your fountain. But I'm pretty sure that he had something to say to Barbara last night when I watched the show.
Do you think a woman should be educated?
Definitely.
But is it not a problem that a woman have a smaller brain than a man?
That is wrong.
Give me a smile, baby. Why angry face?
Well, what you're saying is very demeaning. Do you know the word demeaning?
No.
No.
Didn't go so well.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Dick Van Dyke. I know, Kevin, you don't like old things, but if you ever watched the old Dick Van Dyke sitcom from the 60s, one of the funniest shows on television.
Yeah, I got no
still holds up.
I got
still
it.
Holds up.
I don't have time to watch the shows I want to watch now.
It's funny.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
He's 81 years old today. You can see him this Christmas in that new movie, A Night at the Museum, with Ben Stiller. Christopher Plummer. Around this time of year, you can easily catch Sound of Music on television at some time or another. He's the Captain Von Trapp from that movie. He's done a bunch of other feature films since. 79 years old today. Ted Nugent, the Nuge, is 58 years old today. Morris Day, singer for The Time, turns 50. Steve Buscemi, who played Tony Blundetto on The Sopranos last season and has been in a lot of feature films like Fargo, he's 49 years old today. Jamie Foxx, Oscar winner, comedian, singer. 39. Amy Lee from Evanescence, who I thought was real good at Acoustic Christmas this year, 25 years old today. And Tom DeLonge. Tom, happy birthday. Of course, from Blink-182, Angels and Airwaves. How are you going to celebrate your birthday today, Tom?
Gonna go to dinner with my wife, then go to Chuck E. Cheese with my children.
Right.
That's about it.
Okay, all right. Well,
yeah.
Sounds like a good time. Looking forward to hearing more about that when we get back from vacation.
Sure.
I'm Ralph Garman. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy New Year.
It's that time of year again. It's Wednesday. It's the 13th of double December. And you start thinking about Christmas and family and Yuletide logs and the UFC, mother effer.
Of course.
Some guy beating the crap out of some other guy. You know, screw New Year's Eve this year. It's all about New Year's Eve. December 30th, that's a Saturday night at the MGM Grand Las Vegas. This is the fight that UFC fans have been waiting for. It's UFC 66, Chuck Liddell versus Tito Ortiz. Yes, the revenge match. And Chuck is on the line with us right now. Chuck, welcome back to the Kevin and Me and Sean K-Rock. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great.
It's great to have you on. Chuck, of course, is the reigning world light heavyweight champ. Now, I understand that, are you in San Luis Obispo right now? Are you still doing the training right now, Chuck?
Yeah, I'm still in San Luis Obispo, yeah.
You got a routine, obviously it has worked for you, but what is it about that place up there that draws you back each time you train? Because I only know from the Rocky movies that you go to a different foreign country and train every time you're in a match.
The biggest thing here is I have all my same training partners I've been using for a long time, it's hard for them to uproot and go somewhere for, you know, 6 or 8 weeks and have a camp somewhere. You know, they all have real jobs and other things they're doing, so, you know, this is the easiest place for them to train, and I need those guys to get ready for fights.
Do any of your training partners ever come to you and say, Chuck, seriously, you've been kicking my ass now for 15 years. I've got to stop. And then you say, no.
No, you know, I've been actually pretty good about it. I mean, there's a couple of them that the only time they even come in the gym is when I got a fight coming up. Huh. You know, they're kind of old. I think the last, when I retire, will be the last time they step foot in the gym.
Wow.
Sure. I've been pretty much over it, but they'll still come out there and train with me.
Now, I'm not going to ask you to give away any kind of trade secrets because I know you got some stuff up your sleeves, but do you train differently depending on who you're fighting? Like, is your regimen this month different for Tito than it would be if you were fighting Couture or one of the other guys?
Well, not being a guy like Couture. I mean, it's a similar style of fight. You know, I'm working on the same things for those guys. You know, actually, I think Couture is actually a better wrestler, but, you know, it's the same style of fighting. There's a guy trying to take me down, and I'm trying to stay on my feet and strike. So, you know, I add a few things for every guy I train to go against the fight, to just by their style, what they do, and try to. There's a few extra things I add, but for the most part, the training stays the same.
We have a couple of clips. The first is from Tito Ortiz, the last time you beat him right after the fight.
He came with a jab. I felt his thumb touch the back of my head, and I was like, all right, time to survive. Chuck Liddell did what he did his best, and that's to overwhelm people. Chuck Liddell fought a great fight. He's a winner tonight, but you know what? I guarantee one thing. I will be back.
That's Tito Ortiz after UFC 47. Psycho Mike was telling us, he works here in the studio with us, Chuck. He was telling us that he's never seen a fighter, in this case Tito, take more punches to the face in a shorter amount of time than you laid on him that night. What's your memory of that fight against Ortiz last time?
Well, yeah, I hit him. He backed up, covered up like he does, and I just let my hands go. I mean, I think my strength coach at the time counted 23 punches in like 7 seconds or something.
Oh my God, that's cartoon punching. You know, I mean, it's like the cartoon guy that can get in that many shots. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, he just wasn't. I mean, he was just covering up. I mean, he wasn't really fighting back. So
now, when you walk in like that, it's just instinct, I imagine. But are you thinking out of the side of your mind? You know, I got to make sure I don't get caught by a surprise.
Well, when I'm coming in, it just like I come in. I'm a real calculating fighter anyway. I'm trying to set a guy up, but once I get in exchanges like that, I just kind of let my reactions go.
Right.
We have Chuck Liddell on the line. Of course, we're talking about UFC 66, which is going to be Saturday night, December 13th in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster outlets or the MGM box office. And, of course, most of us will just be going through the, you know, the pay-per-view. Chuck, you've been with the sport a long time. Did you ever imagine UFC 66 is in my future? Is it unbelievable how big it has gotten for you?
Oh, I mean, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger, you know. I mean, over the last couple of years, it's just leaps and bounds, you know. So
you're
been a long time, and it's the last couple of years just grown. I mean, so much.
So you're in the ring after a recent fight, and Joe Rogan is doing an interview with you, and Tito Ortiz is in the audience, and this is what happens.
He's in shape. We go right now. I think we'll wait till December when you actually lose a little of the belly, but it's okay.
Oh,
that belly's permanent. Sorry.
You gotta love Chuck Liddell.
I congratulate them. Good job, Chuck.
Well, I mean, as far as that goes, I mean, the best. Like I told them before, that's the best my body gets. I mean, that's the best I can be in when I'm fighting. So
there does come a point where extra weight anywhere helps throw punches. I would imagine when you're in great shape.
It obviously doesn't help take them to the head, but.
does that kind of trash talking make any impact on you whatsoever, or do you accept it and understand it for what it is, which is just his attempt to get a rise out of you?
Well, it's one of those things. It helps you train for a guy like that because, you know, if there was something that he was able to win, you'd never hear the end of it. He's never quit running his mouth. So that helps me train for it. But I'm a calculating fighter, and you can't get me upset. I mean, I think it's funny. I mean, a lot of this stuff. I expect him to run his mouth and talk trash, you know.
How long back in the day did you train with him? I have is going to send us all into the holidays and probably the best movie.
Oh, good.
I found something on Craigslist.
You know,
It was in the Philadelphia area.
And is there any bearing
really
at this point
kind of
in your career?
Explains what we
know
all
anything
kind of
about
feel
him? Does he know anything about you, or is it all
okay.
kind
well,
of
you've the beautiful thing about further. Craigslist for folks who haven't well, seen it is it's really just a giant message board, and it gives you the opportunity to post pretty much whatever you want on any subject about anyone, and in the case of this writer, for instance, anonymously. This person probably feels way better getting this off his or her chest, and hopefully this email gets back to everyone he works with.
It's titled "To the Women Who Work in My Office." I hate
how in our remaining moments, Chuck,
girl
how much
bright,
time
blonde,
per day do you spend getting ready
reception?
For December 30th?
I don't know how you got your job. Yeah, you are so uneducated, it makes me sick. Did you graduate from grammar school? I think I would respect you more if the answer to that is no. I want to throw a rock at your face every time I walk by when you're answering the phone. And you say something like, who are you calling for? Or, he's in a meeting right now, and my personal favorite, Al, before we have to let him go. Who this is?
Just do what you do best, Chuck.
I bet the people on the other end of the phone want to throw a rock at your face, too. It amazes me that the only two things in your job description are answering phones and taking phone messages, and you can't do either of them.
At the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, you can get tickets at ticketmaster.com at the MGM box office.
You have horrendous body.
Or you can go to UFC.com. Thank you, Chuck, for taking the time today.
I'm not talking about a little stench here. I'm talking every day when you walk into the building, people drop dead. I don't know how you don't notice it. I'm going to buy you deodorant for Christmas. Fat woman who works in Suite 19. I don't know exactly what you do for this company, but I know far too much about your personal life. When you talk to your boyfriend on company time, please refrain from telling him that it felt so good when he blanked his blank in your fat ass. Yes, I heard that. And so did everybody else that walked down the hallway by your suite when you're on the phone. It's disgusting. We don't want to hear about it, so keep your voice down.
Oh, my God.
Blonde woman who works for accounting. I know you're 30, not 25, and I also know that at the Christmas party last year, you had sex with the boss's son in the broom closet, and that he got you pregnant. Please don't insult me in front of our coworkers again, or I will tell everyone.
Dude, I want to work where this guy works. He really has a fun day planned every day.
Hot girl that works in sales? When you wear that brown skirt with the white flower on the bottom and you sit down, we can all see that you don't wear panties. Boss's old receptionist? My name is not John, Jason, Jack, Jim, or Jared. It's Evan. Little intern girl, you're so cute with your stringy brown hair, acne, and braces, but your coffee skills are lacking. All I ever want is a large black coffee, but you seem to think that I would rather a low-fat latte or a caramel macchiato or even a chai tea. Nope, don't want any of those. I just want damned black coffee. You obviously don't know your alphabet as well because my filing cabinet is a mess. F does not come after R, sweetie. Did you flunk that class where you were going to do this internship? No? You better shape your ass up and get me some black coffee right now then. Hispanic girl who works in design? You wear way too much makeup. I hate that you draw your eyebrows on. And I'm pretty sure you have an Adam's apple and are a man.
Oh.
And 35-year-old secretary, you have a 20-year-old son and a 15-year-old son, and you dress like you're a 16-year-old girl. I would be embarrassed to be your children. Oh, and you really look stupid when you wear that plaid schoolgirl skirt with white tights and hooker boots. This is an office, not a brothel. So that's, I think, a wonderful message at Christmas time that we can all take a little something away from and
happy
learn to live
holidays,
our lives.
Happy
holidays, everybody.